said, how do you live? As a fugitive down here where I cannot see so clear. I said, what do I know? Show me the right way to go. And the spies came out of the water. She's feeling so bad, 'cause you know. And the spies hide out in every corner. She can't touch them, no.
Welcome, everybody, to the October edition of In the Now. We're missing JP tonight. He's going to be in New Jersey. JP went to NJ. And got VR in the house.
Hola.
JP.
¿Cómo está?
You're not JP.
No. It's in a way.
You hang out enough with JP.
I got two initials. Same. I same.
So how you guys been doing? What's been going on, man?
Oh, everything that's off.
He's having trouble. I'm doing good.
Oh, I've just been busier than a one-legged man in a butt-kicking contest.
You were the one-legged man.
I saw him running across the street. I said, what the heck is this one-legged man doing in the middle of the street?
Well, that means that I spend a whole lot of time on my ass. Because what happens when you're a one-legged man and you try to kick somebody's butt?
You fall down on your ass.
That's right.
Yeah.
So
I do that with both legs, though. I have two legs and I try to kick, I still fall on my ass.
Wow.
I don't have the balance for that.
Jeez.
I spent a month making a little studio here sound, you know, so it's dead and recording studio.
Yeah, in the Now studio, along with the Effect of Thursday studio as well.
Which cost $1,500, about, roughly. I don't know exactly how much it cost yet.
For those, we're talking about, we're actually in a new studio right now. It's in the same place, but the band group In the Now, which JP and Dimitri are part of, this is where they do their recording as well, and spruced up the place, and much better sound quality for them and for us as well.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm not sure what's going to come up on that next. There's some pretty crazy, I can't remember her name, but she's like a new singer. It's like R&B almost. It's kind of weird. But we'll find out.
Yeah, if anyone's offended by the music, blame it on Dimitri. You can email us at inthenow@quest.net.
And make them as inflammatory as possible, please.
Yeah. And direct all the inflammatory mail, of course, to Dimitri. If you want to know how to spell Dimitri, just guess.
I guess all the time.
Well, you could probably spell it butt kiss, and we would all know that it's still for him.
Yes. MOON, that spells butt kiss. Wait, that spells to be. Screw that.
All right. To get off, we got a lot of stories. We're not going to spend a lot of time on some of them. Just up to date you guys a couple things. AMD is cutting some jobs, and they lost Gateway's business. Which isn't so good, you know, because I like to support AMD because they're pretty good guys. But the new thing is that their processors, they're calling them, they're not rating them by megahertz anymore. They're calling them the Athlon XP, kind of like the Windows XP. Because they're actually behind Intel. I think their fastest processor that they're going to come out with so far is the 1600 megahertz. And they just came out with the 2 gigahertz Intel chip. So they're trying to change their marketing focus to, you know, whoever's got the bigger number, of course, you think it's the best processor and tends to be sometimes. That's what they're doing. They're trying to put a different marketing strategy.
When is there, you know, a point where enough is enough? Where you really won't be able to tell if you're working with, you know, a 1,000 megahertz processor or, you know, 5 gigahertz. In most cases,
no.
You cannot tell.
In most cases, no. Anybody that's using, you know, Microsoft Office documents, you know, as far as Word or Excel, and even, you know, Access Database, most of the time, you know, 500 megahertz is fine for you. Unless you get huge PowerPoint presentations, you may want to go a little higher, but and that's kind of more of a RAM issue as well. But, yeah, it's...
The only way you really tell is when it goes up, like, from a 586 to a 686 or whatever like that.
Yeah.
Just that whole step, because that's, like, actually chunk size, not speed.
Yeah, that's like being drunk and sober.
Huh?
Well, some of us may actually know that feeling. Yeah.
I've only been buzzed. I don't...
Oh, okay.
I'm Dimitri. I don't drink that much.
Dimitri is actually kind of a Russian name. And Russians, I heard, like to drink.
Yeah, I do believe the statistic was, was it?
Oh shit! You found me.
At least a week, liter a week.
You found me out. All right, I drink all the time. I'm actually drunk now.
Wow,
I can't.
Oh, well, that's why I can't. We can't
tell
any difference.
That's why Dimitri never really talks during the show, as he's drinking.
And do you really think this is Gatorade right here?
That's Superade. But
that's Octaneade.
Yeah, for the processor stuff, most of the stuff nowadays it's probably going to change because they're, some degree. They're going to come out with the 64-bit processors soon, and Intel is, and I think Windows XP is going to offer a server edition, and I don't know if they're going to offer a home edition of a 64-bit operating system, full 64-bit code, and that's going to be pretty neat because I know Linux is getting in preparation for that, so... Running on a 64-bit machine is definitely going to be cool. A story about SMS Relay, an idea for fault-tolerant communications. Basically, they're talking about communications that really don't go down during, you know, anything that may cause communications to go down, like what's been going on lately. You know, let's just say somebody bombs a certain state or something like that. Cell phones... are nice. They're wireless. There's less points of access, less areas where something can be destroyed. How the system works, basically, you know, the repeaters. And there's tons of repeaters.
Well, yeah, because there's not one single act can take out a whole lot of them,
mm-hmm. or unless
like,
you have like
the majority of them.
Unless you have like a huge solar flare, which is a big problem.
October 12th and the 14th.
Yeah, because we've been way overdue because our last, the solar sun's flare cycle is about every 11 years. Mm. Well, 11 years ago, it was pretty much squat compared to the one before that, which was back in the 70s, where actually it shut down quite a bit of Canada for a time. And so we're probably going to be in for one heck of a doozy.
I wonder if it can ever penetrate the magnetic field. You can actually get in and burn people.
Actually, that's called a super flare. And the characteristic shape that they see on the sun from other stars is actually a giant S. So it's kind of like a big super string. And that, when that flares, that actually has the possibility of throwing so much sun matter.
It could wipe out.
It could actually incinerate the Earth.
I've actually saw a video of a solar flare. And yeah. It's real brief, and it happens real fast, but I saw it, and it just came out, but the intensity of it is pretty amazing. And I guess one time, what was it? It shut out all the electricity in the 70s?
Yeah, it was in Canada, one of the major cities there. I'm not sure if it was Toronto or which one it was. But then one of the really strange little quirks of that is, like, it would power certain lights. Like this one guy's house was completely dead, but this one lamp over in the corner, it would flicker on and off because there was enough static electricity in the line to power it.
That's weird.
Yeah, so it just has to be at certain places that, you know, in the whole tree of the network of how power lines run, that these certain ones will actually kind of work. Off the residual.
You know, Cox in Arizona, I don't know how they do it in other states, but Cox Communications had a commercial about, that their cable will be out for a period of like a couple minutes, 7 minutes max, something like that, on October 12th or 14th or something like that, due to a solar flare that's supposed to come to the Earth.
which is really kind of amazing because it takes it a little bit more than eight to twelve minutes for the solar flare to actually hit us. And now that they're predicting that so far in the future, that's quite amazing.
Yeah.
Especially because it's dealing with a system which is far more complex than our weather system, which we can't even accurately predict more than 3 days ahead of time, and even then we're wrong 20 to 30% of the time.
We're on the phone, but basically it's nearly every digital solar phone sold today is a computer. It may look like a phone, but it is really a computer designed for making and receiving voice calls and text messages. By making minor hardware changes and updating the software used in cellular phones, vendors can produce phones that operate in a limited capacity even when the cellular network is rendered inoperable. The key to doing this is to redesign the way the phones handle text messaging, also known as SMS or short message service. This service enables phone users to send and receive short text messages via their phones. It's not as good as a live phone call, but it's better than nothing. So, kind of a next step, I guess, in the future of cellular. Satellite radio is officially here. I've heard some announcements, and so has VR. What do you guys think about that? Is it needed?
What exactly is satellite radio?
You know what?
It's radio via satellite.
It is the one next step from, like, when I first heard about it, my first thought was, like, fast food and, like, different restaurants used to be, you know, mom and pop, like, little stands where all the food, if you went to a different, you know, like, little diner, you got completely different food than the last one you were at. And that is going to change now because here, you know, and then you got fast food, and then they corporatized and chained, and now you can have the exact same hamburger in San Francisco as you did in, you know, in New York City. Now here's a radio doing the same thing. As you went from town to town to town, you know, hearing different personalities, hearing different styles of music, hearing things that actually had some, you know, cultural bearing in their environment. Now you can drive across the country and never have to change your dial and hear continuously the same music. Now, is that a good thing?
Yes.
Why?
Well, because you would think that everyone would standardize and be just like everyone else, but people want to be niche. That's what sells. So if someone likes, you know, like 106.3... and
the VR saying that kind of removes the niche.
Yeah, well, it can, but... If that's if everybody decides to copy everyone else, right?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of variety left.
Well, McDonald's isn't really the same as Jack in the Box. It still tastes a little bit different. They try to be somewhat different.
Yeah, but then you have Jack in the Box and Burger King having the same tacos.
Yeah.
Having Jack in the Box having the same fries as McDonald's. Yeah. So, yeah, you get a little, you know, permutation of what's available. But that's it. But when you actually have, like, radio stations... you know, doing, like, local music like 98 does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, does a lot of that kind of thing. That actually, you know, is all those little groups are actually creating innovation because they're trying to find their own niche.
Yeah.
So they're experimenting, broadening, you know, pruning their different techniques. And so you actually get these whole new kind of genres popping up. But when you have, like, complete national homogeny...
Yeah, it's like NPR and Clear Channel. They have a lot of the radio shows that are here in the AM stations here in Phoenix, Arizona, or even Arizona. A lot of it, at certain periods of time, they'll have their local talent, but at certain periods of time, they'll cut away, and it's somebody, you know, that speaks, I forget his name. He's an older guy, and he's on television. He's always got the mic next to him.
Oh, Casey Kasem.
No, well, there's Casey Kasem. But he's a lot. This guy's an older journalist, and he doesn't do like music. He,
I was still thinking about the whole music thing.
Oh,
he's not Imus, right?
He's got glasses, and he's a huge guy, as far as interviewing people. And they got those little dots in the background, and it's just this really dark table, and he's got the microphone there. So tell me what you think about Osama bin Laden, and he, you know, and the guy will respond. Oh, I really wish I knew the name. But, okay, anyway, so they'll bring this person.
This is for all our, you know, radio listening audience. There's blank faces on both Dimitri and I as we stare blankly.
He's been doing it for a really long time. Sometime you guys will see it. He does a lot of late night news. You'll see him come on. He doesn't specifically represent a certain channel. I think he represents a certain company. But he's everywhere. He's
syndicated.
Kind of. But he's pretty. He just asks the questions and lets the person do the answers. He's not one of those guys that battles you on the.
Oh, like Hardball.
Yeah, Hardball. Some of those ones are really annoying.
I want to smack him.
Some of them are really stupid. Is Hardball the one where they have the two people? One.
Oh, you know, no, it's Crossfire. I think you're thinking of Crossfire. Hardball, he's this middle class, like white guy who just
we'll be getting
all up on your butt on anything and everything.
Oh, okay, I know that guy. Yeah.
He'll
ask you a really nice question. So, will bioterrorism affect America? And he's like, no, I don't think so. Well, what do you think about the 16 people dead in Alaska, buddy? Huh? And he's like, well, basically, that's unconfirmed. There's not 16 dead people in Alaska. And he's like, okay, well, I have a confirmed. Because
there's 16 people dead anywhere, so he can pull his information however he wants.
Yeah, he's a lot of them like that. They try to set you up. But to break back off our tangent, they'll pull these different programs in at the end of the night, and they'll play it on multiple stations. And this is, we have FM. AM. This is called XM satellite radio. I don't quite understand how it works because it says something here about a 10-month subscription service. What do? Put in a passcode in your receiver and you get your...
It might actually be a completely little device that you hook up as an accessory or auxiliary.
I don't find radio that important, especially when, if you're paying for it.
Radio is extremely important.
Well, if you're paying for it and then you have to worry about advertisements coming in, you're listening to them, why not just have it constant? Why do both? It's kind of like having Cox. You pay for it, but then you have to watch all the commercials, too. It kind of sucks.
Well, there
they're double-dipping on either end. They're getting you to pay them to sell advertising.
Yeah.
To you. That's just rather a little. Well, that's actually just another one of the ways of the bourgeoisie. Keep down the proletariat class.
My memory is skipping me again, but there actually is a radio station based in New York where they do a 2600 show, and it's actually the listener donates money, and there's absolutely no commercials. And they're actually based on Wall Street. And they have a receiver or a transmitter on top of the Empire State Building, so they get most of the New York area.
I shouldn't complain too much about it because... If it's you're paying for that extra digital thing, it's extra on top of what was normal. Eventually, it'd probably be free for everyone. Right now it's new.
Yeah, well, especially because they're requiring that all signal be digital here in a couple of years. Yeah. So you're going to have like a special digital adapter to turn it to analog for your older TV set. But now, why isn't the radio itself isn't digital? It actually could be.
Could be.
Which is really strange.
In the way they do it currently?
No, I'm talking, it would actually send a digital signal over the analog wave.
Yeah, exactly.
And so you would receive it, the medium would be analog,
mm-hmm.
But what you're taking from the analog signal is a digital quality.
Kind of like phone modems. Modems that they consider them digital, but they're really not.
Well, it's a zeros and ones kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's just on the wave of the frequency of the radio, in that modulation of that would just be ones and zeros, and so unless there was any it could have incredible loss of signal, and you would still receive the information for your for it to pick it up.
It's like packet radio.
Yeah, I'm. Not that familiar with that technology.
Broadband?
Broadband is kind of like packet radio. Yeah, actually, it is packet radio. Broadband is a general term for lots of different ways to get connected.
Yeah.
But packet...
It's a broad band.
Packet radio basically is like that. It sends information via the analog signal, but if you don't receive certain pieces of information, it can be resent, and you'll collect everything kind of like packets, like TCP/IP packets. That's my understanding. And a lot of people, you can buy some like Kenwood radios, kind of like ham radios, and you can have like an attachment where you take a picture and you can send that picture via your ham radio to the other guy, and he can view the picture.
Hmm.
It's Pacifica Radio. That's
wow.
The one that is actually.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely have to relook into getting my ham radio license.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Real good stuff. I got a ham radio.
Because especially I've heard that they've changed their requirements, so you don't actually need to know all the Morse code to be able to decipher it.
It's a smaller. I'm kind of talking out of my butt here because it's been a long time since I've read about it, but I guess the Morse code is much simpler than it was. Test for that portion of it.
So. Yeah, because when I was younger, I actually tried, and I was just not able to, because all the test tapes that I was able to pick up were all to get you an expert class. And so I was not able to decipher it at all. I was like, oh, too many little dits and does. And
give me a B.
Z, what the hell?
Give me a... I failed the test. So.
Give me an F.
I'll just read this out because it's a little bit more information. XM Satellite Radio has officially launched, initially selling equipment only in Dallas and San Diego markets, but going for $300 plus a... But going national on November 15th, a receiver for home and car costs $300 plus a $10 a month subscription fee. That's strange. Many new cars will be pre-equipped with satellite radios. XM provides 100 digital channels, a significant number of which are commercial free. Better be if you're paying $10. It should be just free, period. Sirius Satellite Radio says they are committed to launching by the end of the year. Any readers out there with equipment for this will have any comments about it? It's actually a Slashdot article, so it's one of those Slashdot polls. Satellite Radio.
You know, if they're going to make you pay for all these things, they should be a company that actually takes the debt for you and organizes it, so you just have to pay one bill.
They have plenty of companies that do that.
Yeah, but
all sorts of companies.
But aren't those normally the ones that, oh, you know what, I'm really far in debt. Can you just consolidate all my bills?
Yeah. I have one small monthly bill.
But I mean, like, just paying your monthly bills, like, you know, like for the internet radio kind of thing, the satellite radio.
All your technology costs.
Anything that's like a monthly bill for anything.
Then why don't we just make it a tax? Once everybody has it, why don't we make it a technology tax? And so everybody gets paid. You know, when you buy your banana for lunch, then it goes, and you know that there's a small technology tax on that, and then that goes to pay your technology bill for everyone.
See, that'd be kind of weird, but you know, technically it could work,
right?
Because everyone's going to have
you
it.
You know what?
Some.
I can honestly tell you that I firmly believe
it's socialism through complete and utter, you know, general demand.
I firmly believe that in the future it's going to be much consolidated everything into one way. In your house, you're going to have your one network box, you know what I mean? And you're going to have your bills all organized for you right there online through your network box. And your payment, it's going to be totally, be dropped into account and then sucked out automatically off these people. Basically, I don't know. It's going to be that way. It sounds new because it is new and everything new sounds cool, right? Well... I don't know. There's a lot of sociological things that come along with things like that as far as, do you feel like a human anymore? You know what I mean?
You're talking about alienation and the lack of meaning in whatever we do, mm-hmm. which is the same thing that like, even Marx argued against when he talked about socialism. Really, when if everything went completely socialist, so... that you whatever you did created enough value to satisfy all your needs. Say, like, today I wanted to go and, you know, work at Circle K and then, you know, later on be an art critic. You know, all those things, all those natural things that I wanted to do would satisfy, you know, the value surplus needed to pay my rent, my car insurance, and purchase my car. But now, really, then, what value does any of those things really have if you're not striving for it?
Yeah, I was going to interrupt. Actually, go ahead and say something. What were you going to say, Dimitri?
Nothing.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember. I had something a while ago, but I forgot.
Yeah, then I paused, too.
Yeah, because it's an intrinsic need for you know, it's not for us to work, but it's for us to be better.
Yeah.
To create more, to do more.
The thing is that it's, to go along with to exactly what you're saying, is the practical ways of, like, you know, 1 + 1 = 2, you know, the ways you'll do things, like if you're thrown back into cavemen, ways of doing things, like, oh, if I do this and this and that, it's going to make sense. But now when you're set in this world where everything is done for you, you just learn these processes, and you do these completely arbitrary, strange things to do what you want to do. You're like, oh, I have to, you know, I want to pass a law, and I'm very interested. I'm not a politician, but I want to get into politics, and I'm going to pass a law. And you're like, well, you have to go to this area, and you got to just, kind of like what we have today, but it's going to be, you know, ours are kind of like based off, you see what I'm saying, based off sort of a natural way of doing things. And then when we build all these subsystems, new systems based on all stuff, the whole bottom just falls out below you, and we keep building off of this imaginary world that is totally non-practical. If we wiped it all out and we had to start from scratch, we'd just be, you know, a bunch of kids sucking our thumbs not knowing what to do, because everything else was based off of imagination. You know, it's all...
Right.
You know.
There will be a time when everything will be, you know, automated and technologized to the point where either no one will be need any skills to do anything. Then what's really the point of doing anything? If anybody
find new things to invent new things to have a skill for.
But see, now is there really a time? Well, I hypothesize that there is actually a time when everybody will have, like, you know, say a perpetual energy generator in their apartment, and, you know, like a food anything kind of replicator. So anything you want, whim, or even can possibly imagine, you can just tell the computer to make, and it will do it.
Yeah, we'll make an environment so that anybody gets health care, food, taken care of, everything. Yeah.
Yeah, so then what happens when your computer goes dead and you don't know how to cook food? You know, make any
it fixes itself.
Yeah, it would actually have to fix itself.
It fix itself, or you'd have some guy replace it for a small monthly fee that goes along with your homeowner's insurance.
Right, but then whatever you do, but what is that?
You know,
you know, there's really nothing to do.
You know, it'd be like, you know, a long time ago, you wouldn't have to worry about exercising, and now you do, because all the things you do is just like so lazy. So you go home and you exercise to get yourself back in shape. In order to survive, you go out and you'd take like little like classes or whatever, 30 minutes a day to learn how to do the things. You know what I mean? It's like,
well, that used to be survival back, because we used to be like preyed upon by animals, or have to actually go out and hunt our food, which took a lot of energy to do. But now what I'm talking about in this state where anybody could do anything, you know, like essentially everything, because everything would be so automated and so technologized that it wouldn't take any, you know, essentially self-capital or self-training to do so. Would there be any more innovation?
Yeah, if something is not going to make anything.
The innovation, I'm thinking, may kind of like Star Wars and Star Trek. Okay. I think the world someday maybe will be a mix of the two. Star Wars is complete chaos. You know, a lot of war. That's kind of the downtime of the human civilization. And Star Trek is the peak, I guess you could say. Maybe we'll use all this technology, all right, make everything back home automated, and the guys that are on the spaceships out exploring are the daredevils, the frontiermen, the new thinkers, trying to you know, bring morals and humanity to the galaxy and learn and share and kind of, you know, if there's other beings out there, try to work with them and share coexistence or something like that. Maybe that's the new frontier, I guess you could say. Because right now we're sitting at a turning point with all these tools. I mean,
but they've been saying that for the last, you know, 120 years now.
Well, yeah.
That we're just at this point where, you know, society's going to make this great change. Even like some of the old Russian czars before were saying we're in the state where we're going to have this mass societal just switch, and that we're in, you know, We're just about there.
Switching to what, though?
Well, the czar that I just talked about was talking about the cyclical shift between the idyllic society and the sensate, as the sensate society is directly is very empirical, that there's nothing idealistic or transcendental about the world, while the idyllic is very much about spiritual matters and about creativity. And he actually said that it's a cycle and not a pendulum, so that there actually becomes this point, this breaking point, where, like, the internal drive, that thing which has created religion since man created, essentially walked upright, would essentially rise forth and break through this new change.
In the Bible, like right before, like the Old Testament, everything, like, to please God was all physical. Wash your hands, do this certain thing. And then when Jesus came, it was all spiritual. Clean your inside, right? It's all spiritually something totally different. Kind of like that, you mean?
That's actually a beautiful analogy.
Yeah. He totally changed it from physical to something that's cleaning your mind, your mind, body, and spirit all in one. Is totally different, really.
Yeah, because that would be more, that would be that whole shift.
Yeah.
I don't know, but
what's been happening lately to me, and we'll talk about this more in depth later, but how the whole world essentially is kind of rethinking who they are and what they stand for and where they place their limits and where they don't. You know what I mean? Everyone was hunky-dory. Mm-hmm. You know, I hate you. You hate me. Oh, I like you. Wow. Ice cream's great. You know, just going through the world. And now you're like, shoot, England or whatever, I forget the story, but something happened, was an instance where they saw white powder, I think it was on an airplane or whatever, and they brought the airplane down and tested it out. Don't quote me on that, but it was something over there that made some people worry because they had white powder. Over in England, mm-hmm. But we're the ones that were supposed to worry about the bioterrorism, whatever, even though anthrax is really not that effective. But we'll talk about that later.
Actually, it's the deadliest microbe that we know of.
Well, as far as spreading it to a mass populace.
Actually, there was a spreading. How effective it's actually spread.
Yeah, it works. It'll kill you.
Yeah, it's just, you only need 8,000 to 10,000 spores go up your nose to, create a deadly little colony until this all comes. So, crop duster would be an ideal way.
Oh, yeah. But we'll talk about this later.
All right.
I don't want to go off on too much of a tangent. But, yeah, if you think about it, I don't know, to me, I've kind of, since what's happened, pretty big turning point for me in my thinking.
I was asked, actually, about a couple of weeks before, September 11th, which would put that, to ask how could we unite the populace in a more constructive way.
I remember that, actually. We were talking about that.
Yeah, we were. And it was actually to give them somebody to hate.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this long before this. And here, now we actually see proof that VR was actually right. Yeah. And I'm really sad that I had to be proven right this way.
Well, we never said you were wrong. Right.
Yeah, but actually, here's a proof that one of my hypotheses was actually right. We see this great, great nationalism now. I've seen more pseudo-diplomats driving down the road than I've ever seen.
My thought is that we may be at a turning point because the internet has really made us feel like we're connected to everything, to a point. I can get on the internet now. Talk to somebody in Australia, China, Germany. I might be able to even pull up an Afghanistanese person.
Dude, I'm a little radio thing. You actually get them to talk on here if you wanted to.
If you've noticed, with a lot of people, if they're doing okay with their current form of government, then they're sticking with it. Anyone that's doing bad, they want a democracy. Israel wants a democracy. Pakistan, or Palestinians, they want their country, and they're looking to make a democracy, and they're looking to make a democracy in Afghanistan after everything is through, if they could do something like that. But it seems like people are saying, okay, we see what works are pretty good, and there's all these economies out there, and we're seeing that humans can live a pretty good life if things are done correctly, and everyone's trying to get to that point. And then once they get to that point, everyone have their little differences, or great differences, but we'll all have a common humanity. And then we'll start thinking different. And I think we've already started with this whole thing, and the sense that, I mean, I feel like I'm connected to anybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like before, when I was in my house and I didn't have, you know, if you didn't have a computer and I was 10 years old, well, we didn't really have an internet connection. I felt isolated. I could read encyclopedias. Encyclopedias were my outlet to the world. And now I can pull up live cams off the beach of Australia, you know what I mean? Or I can see some Japan, you know, buildings. And
yeah, love those beach cams.
Oh, yeah.
The beach cams.
Yeah. I did say beach, didn't
yeah.
I?
Yeah.
Okay.
They've got some other cams on there, let me tell you. That
are on a beach.
Some of them aren't very good.
Yeah, like the little pea cams. Those are really...
Oh, yuck.
Yeah.
You've heard it now cams. On In the Now.
There is such a thing called the pea cam.
Yeah, and it's... All right, well, we'll probably talk a little bit more about this after I get through these stories. We've covered quantum computing. We're just this is just more along the lines with stuff that's popping up to make it more viable. Purdue builds quantum computing semiconductor. So there's
wait,
a
if it's a quantum, oh, never mind. That's a really odd question.
How it's like a component.
Because it would be a how could it really be a semiconductor or superconductor if it's just utilizing quantums, but it has to work on essentially the same basis as everything else?
Yeah, so it's, now it's just a new component. And there's another one that's basically, it's not quantum, that's a different way of doing processors. Optical DSPs promise teraops performance.
Oh, that's what I was thinking of. There we go.
These are light-based computers, and basically via light switching. And then, of course, there'll be some sort of outlet which takes something from the light and then change it to electronic, you know, through electrons, and then shoot that across the wire until, you know, unless we have a full light-based computer.
Actually, I think that's what they're working on, because they're actually doing something where the actual photons can actually turn 90 degrees to a 90-degree angle.
Yeah, because I remember having that. They said there was a problem. When it turned a 90-degree angle, it lost a bunch of energy or something?
Well, light can't through, like, through fiber optics.
Yeah, there's a bend radius.
Yeah,
it can only bend so much. But they actually are finding a way of, through a crystalline structure, that it'll actually bounce around until eventually it goes, you know, essentially an infinite amount of bounces to however many.
Would that slow it down any? Instead of a straight stream, it'd be like bouncing around everywhere until it finally got to where it needed
to
go.
But it's
it would be so fast that it would be
hardly
really
different.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd have to be doing some major advanced encryption. We'd notice maybe a microsecond, if that.
Yeah, if you're like dividing pi by pi or some weird thing.
Is it apple pie?
Oh,
or
no,
it
would be. Oh, actually, though. No, if you're doing, like, natural logarithm 6.
Okay, what the crap's that?
Oh, the natural logarithm of 6 is, like, pi or something like that. Or it's really, really darn close.
Okay.
Really, really weird little quirk.
I've totally
of math.
Forgotten about math. I was in calculus, like, for 2 years in college, and I have no idea. I just now remember what your logs... L-O-G.
Well, see, what's really strange is I never took calculus.
Yeah?
Well, so never really taken a physics class either, but I can tell you all kinds
of
crap about it.
Yeah, we just did some quirky things. That is now, but that makes us different. Yeah, actually, I heard a joke. It was kind of a joke on the radio before I came in, and they're talking about quantum computers, or quantum math. When he said, if I told you about
quantum mechanics.
Quantum mechanics, yeah. Which is quantum math, but the mechanics of quantumism. And he said, well, some guy tells you about quantum mechanics, and then that means that there might not be quantum mechanics. It was just something the guy had said, because, you know, there's all aspects, searches all the possibilities. say.
You have to think about that joke a little bit.
Yeah, it's like a joke grenade. It's just like, pull the pin. Oh, yeah. Here you go.
What's that? Dad save us from, Mama save us from the world. It was this light grenade. It was a movie, okay? And it was a light grenade. Who is it? Mama save us from planet Earth or something?
Oh, yeah.
I have no idea.
Okay, well, you'll understand this, because this is the point. Who cares about the name of the movie? It was an older movie. there's this thing called Light Grenade. It's a whole comedy thing, and it's kind of Mars and space stuff and stuff. And these one group of people were fighting another group of aliens. Like, these humans were fighting these aliens to save the Earth. And they had this thing, say, here, I'm get this, you know, one of the aliens was helping out the humans, said, hey, you know, use this light grenade. It's great. So what does it do? He said, hurry up, but just use it. We got to go. And he pressed a button or something like that, pulled a pin through it. And this guy went up and eventually the aliens got up to where the humans were. And, of course, they ran off. But they got to that point where the light grenade was. And they picked up the light grenade and it disappeared. And then the other alien guy says, what? Huh? And he picked it up and he disappeared.
Oh, actually, that's really similar to, I do believe in, like, Spaceballs or something like
that, where it
actually said, pick me up.
Yeah, pick me up. And it killed 30 people.
Yeah, it took out a whole, like, battalion.
Every one of them picked it up and disappeared. They didn't learn. But, that's, I guess, interesting way to do computing is it's quantum mechanics based on an optical computing system because of the speed. I don't know how that's scalable as far as size, you know what I mean? As far as, like, little tubes that the light travels down, I think it'd be harder to shrink it. As far as they're shrinking, the diodes and the transistors, actually the transistors is the main portion, the transistors and the processors. So
you're saying there actually is a quantum math, though? Or am I hearing you
wrong? It's light-based computing based off quantum mechanics. Because it's doing, basically, if you take a shade of light, in that beam of light, there's levels of the beam.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And within those levels, what they do is they take a beam, and you can shoot it concordance with another beam with different data. Let's say it's a data stream, and it's going to another data stream. And as they lock, this is kind of all hypothetical how it works, doesn't physically do this. Well, it kind of physically does. As it locks, there's differences in the strands. And then those differences become...
Actually, that sounds a whole lot like harmonics based in sound frequency.
That's one of the things I had read, is the differences in the strands could then give answers as far as, like, asking it a question.
Yeah, but that's actually really about the basis or, you know, a new type of processing off this, this paradigm. But just quantum itself...
It's like
just,
keys.
And yeah, like the whole
new
little,
doors.
It's different levels. It's like a quantum. So in these different levels, there's whole mechanics and little processes within it. And I'm...
By comparing all at the same time on all levels, you produce an answer of a high volume.
One that's a higher percentage of all the rest, you mean?
It's quicker. It's
I'm not sure how...
Instead of... Okay, it's like this. If you ask... Let's say you're asking a computer a question.
What is the meaning of life?
And it has two answers. It says, I don't know, or go to hell. Okay. and then that's it. It just has an on and off, just like our computers nowadays. On and off. So you say, give me an answer. It calculates on or off. That's it. Now with quantum, huge variation. You could be doing tens of thousands of on and offs in one computation.
Well, I understand that part, but how they actually get it, you know, the theory behind that, to me doesn't really make sense. I know it's off of photons that supposedly can, you know, bounce.
If I knew that, I definitely wouldn't be doing a radio show now, and I'd be making a couple million a year.
Yeah, to me, it just kind of is weird.
Well, there was, I'm not sure if this is the same thing,
form
but
an answer.
It was that when, like, two electrons are linked or paired, that one actually, if you spin one, the other one will spin, even if they've been separated. So you can actually have, like, an...
Oh, are you talking about black matter?
No, I'm not talking about dark matter. This is actually after a pair of electrons have been paired. you can then they've separated them, and then they made one spin, and the other one, without them, you know, messing with it, started to spin. That there is something
deeper, which is all theory.
Which is all completely theory, because that is not observable. That is not empirical. Mm. That doesn't, you know, do any. That has no rational basis in how we see the world. But yet it spins, and it's not on my finger. But that's my own little thing.
Well, so, Adam's in seven dimensions, right? That's the thing.
Well,
I heard seven dimensions.
You could have. Well, they really. In chemistry, eight is a magic number, because, you know, like they all want to have eight, you know, like eight electrons in the valence shell is good. And, you know, there's eight spaces for electrons to link in most, except that bromine is strange because it's pretty happy with six. That's right. It's a kooky little, you know, atom on its own. Yeah, where the heck was I going with that? Oh, yeah, you could actually have, like, instant communication with these two electrons. You get one to spin, half a universe away, the other one spins.
Oh, could it be on another atom? Another?
See, I'm actually not sure if it, because I would figure if it was then, if one of those electrons was then paired with another one, or it has been paired with everything. Before it, as you spin one electron,
they would all spin.
They would all spin.
For some reason, they exist in a shared dimension.
I would think it would only be on the atom itself. If it's separated from one atom to another, it wouldn't spin.
If there's any quantum mechanic people listening to us and we're completely wrong, we could be.
Please educate us.
Yeah, please educate. This is
you can write VR at was it Slipknot?
No,
Slipknot?
I don't actually have a Slipknot.org email set up. I could. I just haven't made the username. It's in the now at quest.net. These are just things that I've read off of in the background schooling and stuff. So, if anyone's making fun of us, hey, we're not quantum engineers. So,
call at us and laugh. You know, tell us some way. We would like to hear it and laugh, too.
So, I know we talked a lot about that. Keep rolling along. This is a brief one. TV plea to Patriot hackers. Basically, there was a small tidbit mentioned that, let's see if it shows. A new TV public service announcement targets U.S. computer hacktivists with a blunt message. Uncle Sam wants you to help fight the war on terrorism. But the spot, which organizers hope to begin airing nationwide next week on major networks, will warn that misguided Patriot efforts from software experts can hurt the cause.
Wanting these, you know, like hackers to go break into Afghanistan computers?
It's not already blown up.
Well, yeah. Do they have computers? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Do they have the lowest calorie intake of... You know, of a nation in the world.
They're probably sharing one computer. That's Bin Laden owns.
Yeah, it's like a 286.
Like standalone.
My freaking calculator has more.
Well, he's got a lot of money. He could buy a top of the line computer.
Hey, well, Dell's got 1.5 gigahertz. Just kidding. No, but basically, okay, I've talked about hacktivism before, one show I remember, and. You know, it's kind of controversial because it goes against some morals of getting into a machine that you don't own and stuff. But these guys usually take your original web page and save it somewhere else, or they just change the index.html to something new. But I don't really hear much about it. I knew the whole with the Chinese thing when we had our spy plane. That had taken in over there. They had a war where hackers were trying to hack Chinese websites, and Chinese were trying to do vice versa. It's sometimes it's effective, sometimes it isn't. It's not widely done, as far as I understand, but it is a tool to get a message across.
Another form of terrorism.
Yeah.
See, to me, I think.
Oh my God! He took over my website.
Yeah, I don't think that would happen. Yeah. because it takes too much of a process to learn this stuff, to be able to hack. It takes a lot of time to do that. And these guys, they had to pay him. And once he did that, he'd probably be turned over and want to keep technology. You know, he wouldn't want to attack America or anything because that's such a hard thing to learn, you know, to hack. You can get any tools you want and hack into something, but, you know, it just doesn't seem to me like they're going to be able to get someone that is computer savvy to do that.
Even, well, not for them to do it to us,
yeah,
but for us to do it to them.
Yeah, but...
But they don't have anything.
But they don't have an infrastructure.
Yeah, so I thought it was... It was a really small article, and frankly, it really hasn't been mentioned on the television.
Right. There's only, like, what is it? I forget the estimate on how many TVs there are in Afghanistan.
Three.
Yeah, and it's in the whole country, it's probably less than, like, Tempe.
Well, you know, if he's friends with what's that guy's name, Saddam Hussein, then, you know, what do they have over there? Is it worse? Is it better?
No, they're actually not too shabby as a society as far as some modernism.
Yeah, because they're actually quite wealthy.
Yeah. Yeah. But,
so
you know
what Bin Laden has at all, because he's a multimillionaire or something.
Ooh, that's actually not that much money. Actually, because he's one of, like, 50-some children.
Mm-hmm. And he's so underformed sexually.
And
like the word. No, seriously.
Oh God, I did not want to know that. I didn't even want to think of that.
Yeah, I guess he's
so. All right, so, and in Islamic law is all the male children get the same amount of money for their inheritance. So the father only had, you know, like
a couple billion.
No, it wasn't even that.
Well,
much.
I think he was a billionaire, is what I heard.
Yeah,
but he may have been 1 billion.
No, yeah, and so you divide that up by 50. That's And also for a child that was also disowned, you know, that they're only suspecting that he's maybe got a couple million.
I heard it's 3 million in the beginning. Who knows now?
Yeah, especially after we've frozen quite a few of the accounts that he supposedly has dealt with.
So I heard we froze 24 million max. That's what we froze.
That's it.
That's what I've heard. And there's some new places that they're trying to get. But I heard it's 24 million from the original ones, the original 22 people that they're trying to get.
What I'd like to know is if they knew about these, you know, these assets that they had and they knew there were terrorists, you know, in other countries, why didn't they stop it anyway?
Because of the politics.
Well, also, this whole thing, this whole war on terrorism, where is it going to stop eventually?
It doesn't.
Okay, so We take out these, you know, these small groups of Bin Laden, you know, followers. Then where do we go after this? Then do we go to the IRA, the Irish Republican Army? Oh, then why don't we go to the Ku Klux Klan after that? And, you know, all these other little subgroups. And, oh, maybe any occults that are doing some weird things that might be some terrorists. Or treat every hacker.
Oh, yeah.
As a civil terrorist.
Actually, I have an article about that. Actually, let me swing to this because I know we got plenty of time to spend on the other stuff, and I know that that's a nice lofty conversation.
Lofty.
Lofty. Let's all do it together.
It's like lofty.
Here, I'll do it, and then we'll go lofty. Okay, so I'll do lofty.
Lofty.
It's like terrorism.
We have way too much freaking free time on our hands.
It's like terrorism. It keeps going.
You know what I think?
Lofty.
The liquid nails in here from making this room is getting to us slowly.
Yeah, I actually do feel in a very strange mood today.
I kind of smell that. And you understand how I make coffee. It's turbo coffee. So it's
there's like grounds, and then you drip in some water.
One time, is it Circle K? Okay, first time we got coffee hit Circle K. I went up to the machine, right, and put it on. It's like French vanilla, you know. Put that in.
I figured it was going to be hazelnut. The guy was going to have a tongue ring, and his pants were going to hang around down to his ankles.
But no, so I put the glass up, the styrofoam cup or whatever it is, up to the machine. I press down, you know, for like French vanilla, right? So I fill up my whole cup, and I take it home and start drinking. I'm like, wow, this is pretty weird. Oh, stupid. I got a whole cup of creamer. I thought it was French vanilla coffee. And you just added sugar. I had a creamer cup with sugar.
Did you like it, though?
No, I couldn't fit. Oh, yuck. It was just too, you know what I mean, too tarty.
Was it like eating mayo? Just plain mayo?
Yeah, it's probably just like drinking pure creamer.
That's weird because I've never had that.
Yeah.
I've had mayo.
Next time you go to a little like IHOP or Denny's thing, just get some creamer and just do a shooter of it.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
Yuck.
And that little comment about the hazelnut coffee, that would be a thanks to Dennis Leary infecting my little brain today.
Wow.
Yeah. Your brain's little. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. I've only got two brain cells left, and they're both fighting for control.
But if you spin one brain cell, it spins the other one.
And then he goes, whee!
Oh, wow. You got to enjoy listening to us. I mean, where do you get a bunch of jokers like us? Anywhere else. Hackers face life imprisonment under Anti-Terrorism Act. Okay, huge propaganda in the title. It's, but it, you know, I mean, that's just kind of trying to focus, trying to push out the feeling of what that means. Because that after what had happened, the Anti-Terrorist Act, which is basically a law of like things that they want to pass for law enforcement to get, you know, there's more tools and stuff. A whole bunch of stuff was thrown out in this law and put together, pieced together, and it's trying to pass it. A lot of stuff that people have been trying to put together before this whole thing had happened on the 11th, September 11th. And so, you know, a lot of political groups saying, hey, guys, before you pass this thing, because there's a lot of rush to pass it, before you pass this, read it and look at it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're not giving up your civil liberties and who are you giving power to in the government. And I'm gonna go over some of the stuff here in these.
Well, yeah, the Civil Liberties Union or whatnot has already put out some of those organizations that are here to protect our civil rights and all that. I've already put out the call that they're going to be hiring many more lawyers and interns and doing all that because they do already see that we're going to have a lot of things being pushed and trying to be bent to control this terrorism.
Hackers, virus writers, and website defacers would face life imprisonment without the possibility of parole under legislation proposed by the Bush administration that would classify most computer crimes as acts of terrorism. There is computer crimes that can be acts of terrorism, though.
Well, yeah, and well, what?
But you got to be very specific on how you classify what's terrorist and what isn't.
Well, and what's the difference between variation sometimes and terrorism or like change, terrorism or trying to invoke change? You know, just trying to innovate can be actually be considered terrorism.
And that's usually what most hackers are. If they do something, it's actually to make change or to wake somebody up. Everything. back orifice program, which is a Windows NT, actually a kind of administration program, but it's actually used as a hacker tool as well. Take over Windows boxes. And stuff like the Code Red virus and Nimda virus, which we'll bring up. Stuff like that. I don't know what the writer's initial intent is because he hasn't been arrested yet or whatever. But to me, maybe it's saying, hey, Microsoft sucks. Or, hey, it's pretty fun to take over these boxes and cause havoc. You know, but there's...
Or that we need to increase security.
Security as well.
To make these things a little tighter or more complex so they function more efficiently.
It makes sense, really, because if you think of the human body needs, you know, the flu shot. You get a flu shot, it's like a little bit of the flu, right? So that when the real flu comes, you're not really affected by it. People need to get these little viruses and you know, so they can develop, you know, in technology and understand it. So, you know, that when the time comes, when a real virus comes that can destroy, you know, like computers, all the computers on the internet, you know, people will be ready for it. You know, it won't destroy it right away. It's kind of like that with the human body, too.
Right. It's like we talked a couple of shows ago about the whole variation and genetic diversity of the internet and technology in general is really necessary. And, like, these little viruses that come in or these, you know, hack jobs, they come in and make us start to prune some of these useless
features or...
Right, or just these little, you know, things that are essentially clogging the system, so that they actually serve incredible useful. Yeah.
It serves a purpose.
Thank you. That was the word that was eluding me in the great vacuous void of my mind.
The two little things that spin.
Go wee!
Wee! All this data is coming out of these two spinning things.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
There must be two other ones spinning somewhere else that are
well,
getting that
it's data. Centrifugal force. It's like we just, you know, and they just, like, spew as they spin.
In quantums, might they be spinning?
Or are they whirling?
They're spinning, you don't know. They could be doing a lot of different things.
Well, they could always be spinning the same, you know, in different directions at the same time, just on different parallel universes.
Yeah.
And now, which one am I at, or am I at the other one? Now, is that sometimes why I seem dyslexic, or is that because I'm dyslexic in a non-dyslexic world?
Why are you smoking a cigarette right now? Do you see it?
Just kidding. You see how weird that can
that
be?
That must be the cancer or so.
It seems like quantum computers would never get anywhere, because if they really knew how to process everything at once, you'd just go forever, because you can... It's
where have you ever... did you ever see Pi?
Yeah, I've seen the movie. Bought it.
Incredible movie. I really enjoyed the
Someone bought it.
That it's little scene where there was an ant crawling on his processor.
Yeah.
That was absolutely phenomenal. That he had actually, synthesized life from through Einsteinian teams of that process of condensing of consciousness and creating the actual universe. That within his equations, he actually had the seed crystal of the universe.
Okay, now I'm confused.
What are you confused on?
The whole part.
That's okay, Lumpy.
He was way outside the box.
Yeah, that was like being in the farthest reaches outside the box and the very smallest point inside the box at the same time.
It's when you start questioning... Is that pure intelligence, or is that a bunch of bull honky? But Brian's a pretty smart guy, so I think he's pretty smart.
I'm not confused about what he's saying. Excuse me so much. I don't know what's going on. I'm just smiling.
Play back how we've been talking tonight, you see the rhythmatic of how we keep cycling through things?
You know, JP, maybe he shouldn't be here. I'm joking.
But our little dynamic here is actually a little weird, because we actually do have a relatively good balance.
Yeah, as far as where we're sitting here.
Uh-huh.
But
this also could be because we're all actually looking at each other today.
Yeah, when you weren't there, you know, the back.
Well,
when you're over in your little command booth, you know, like separated in your own little box, in your own little sphere of slip modeism.
Yeah, I really would like to sit. Now I can, actually.
But see, now I can throw things at you, too.
And I can look at you all sexy.
Yes. But what I was thinking about is...
sexy. Sexy.
Dimitri, yeah, sexy. You look so... the story. No, what I was thinking about is, if you notice how everything we're kind of thinking about is tying into what's been happening lately...
Are we being in the now?
We are definitely in the now. But I'm saying, everybody has got what's going on in the back of their minds, and they're tying it to everything that they know in existence and evaluating.
I know. It's actually been this huge, world thought structure.
Yeah.
Which has actually, spurred more thought, more conversation.
Yeah, what this guy did with this terrorism, if it's this guy or the group or the people involved, they've
helped us out.
They've done way more good than they have bad.
Yeah, how much are 7,000 lives to unite essentially the world, which is absolutely amazing.
What I'm surprised is, this united the world more than what we did to the Japanese. How many people did we kill with the nuclear explosions?
Hundreds of thousands.
Yeah.
Hundreds of thousands.
It was like 100,000, something like that. That, you know, and what was it, Russia, 2 million died from this war or whatever?
Yeah, well, even the world wars, there was not the mass unity that we have now from this one incident.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to have to make a rule that we're going to have to finish each story, and then after that, we're going to have to talk about that.
Well, then here, I'm going to do that, because as VR said to In the Now, where would this one micturbate?
I'm confused again.
I completely understand. So I'm going to actually finish reading this Hacker's Face Life Imprisonment Under Anti-Terrorism Act. VR is going to be coming back shortly. He's going to have to meditate for a brief moment. The Justice Department is urging Congress to quickly approve its Anti-Terrorism Act. And we're definitely going to get through these stories, and then we can definitely think about that stuff afterwards. What was the word we were whispering earlier?
I don't know. I don't remember.
It's these darn liquid nails. Okay. To approve its Anti-Terrorism Act, a 25-page proposal that would expand the government's legal powers to conduct electronic surveillance, access business records, and detain suspected terrorists. The proposal defines a list of federal terrorism offenses that are subject to special treatment under law. The offenses include assassination of public officials, violence in international airports, some bombing and homicides, and politically motivated manslaughter or torture. Most of the terrorism offenses are violent crimes or crimes involving chemical, biological, or nuclear weapons, but the list also includes the provisions of the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act that will make it illegal to crack a computer for the purpose of obtaining anything of value or to deliberately cause damage. Likewise, launching a malicious program that would harm a system, like a virus, or making an extortionate threat to damage a computer are included in the definition of terrorism. So that's infrastructure is important. It can be terror, used as a as terror, used for terrorism, but it's not quite an efficient way, I think, right at this point.
See, I think that's kind of stupid, really. That I don't really know much about what people say in history, but there's someone that VR happens to mention, you know, those who sacrifice, freedom for a little bit of safety. They get neither. And to me, it doesn't make sense. They're actually getting what they want by us going the extra mile to stop them, you know, from terrorizing us. You see what I mean?
Yeah, I've heard. We're going back to again, but I guess it ties into everything.
It really does.
Yeah, it's weird. I guess to go back into it is, I hear in the news, you know, some people saying, so listen to the news 24 hours a day, except for when I'm sleeping. And it's, they're saying, you know, some people are saying, hey, I'll give up my rights for a couple months, and that's it. This thing goes into effect. Maybe not this specifically, but something like that to the effect will go in. It's set to a time limit. It's 6 months. You got to do this. It's this rigorous thing the governments can try to do. Crack down on terrorism. After 5 months is up, boom, you're back to normal. You get your rights back, and such as such. But it's a big debate. Big debate, and it's not one that's really being entertained. Not a lot of people are actually entertaining that debate. Most of it's just people that I've heard calling in, talking about what they would do as far as, you know, strive to get things cleaned up. But, it's a big debate. Everything can be classified as terrorism.
Do they really know why the terrorists do what they do? I mean, is there a way of, like, appeasing them?
Well, everyone's got their own problems, and, they do their things for their own reasons. I guess with what's been happening, it's because, America has aided a lot of places, and one of the beefs I've heard is that we're not aiding as far as one time a lot of Iraqi soldiers had died, or people had died, a million Iraqi soldiers. I forget the details. Basically, they were being attacked by somebody else, and, all these people died. Said, where's the people coming to help us now? Basically, because they're feeling the intense pressure of, everyone's, watching these Arabic nations and, putting the handcuffs on them whenever need be. And that's part of it. And also part of it that, hey, when are you going to treat us like a normal person and aid us? And then also a lot of people are upset because, we gave We helped essentially Israel build a state for itself back in 1948. And basically they came in, you know, this is what I've heard, and I'm sure there's, you know, this has been spoke on for a long period of time, so this is going to be a brief, tragically not well sum up, that they had kicked out the Palestinians, and Palestinians want their state back or a portion of it. And I guess that's what's going to be what's being talked about somewhat, is that the they are willing to give some sort of a piece of the land, Israel's land, to back to the original to the Palestinians, so they can have their own state as well. So that's one of the things. But that's what Bin Laden had complained about. And
see, why can't they solve their own differences? Why do we have, you know?
Well, because we're
we.
Well, here's the thing: is that
it's not our problem; it's theirs.
Well, here's the thing: is that, and some people, I really don't want to give any idea to the fact that what happened September 11th was warranted, or anything that would happen was warranted. But this is me peering, sitting briefly in their shoes. Despite whatever their beliefs are, be it incorrect in my idea or correct, they're basically, okay, they have their way of life, and they see that the Americans make it so they're always under control. You know what I mean? It's like a dog with a leash, and that we're not allowing them to do what they would like to do, and they're sick and tired of Big Brother coming around, and they, you know, socked him in his face. So that's kind of my understanding. Well, VR is back, and he has no idea what we're talking about. Just to bring him up to date, we were just talking about the whole terrorist thing. We just got a little bit deeper as far as everything can be considered terrorism to a point, and how that affects our civil liberties and how that should be treated. It's kind of a catch-22, you know what I mean? Like, okay, terrorism, do this to fight it, but hey, wait, we're losing something as well. So that's what we're talking about. But we're going to move on to the stories, and then we'll come back, and we'll talk all about that, unless you have a brief comment.
Well, I'm the man from back from the Silver Mountain. And now, I do believe it was Benjamin Franklin who said...
Yeah, we just said that.
Oh,
go ahead. Go ahead and say it.
Did we?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, go ahead and say it.
That one who gives up a little bit of safety for a little... gives up a little bit of freedom for a little bit of safety deserves neither.
You said it better than I did. I couldn't remember half of it.
Well, I think it was either security or safety. I think it was actually security.
Yeah,
it's both pretty much the same thing.
Well, actually, there's a little bit of difference of...
Security
you can
is
be safe,
securing your safety.
You can be safe, but not really secure. And you can be secure, but you will be safe.
Okay.
This goes along with what we're talking about as far as terrorism.
Well, actually, no, you could be secure in your inevitable demise as well. But then you're also free.
But does it account for when you're naked?
But then are you truly, is anything really secured when you're naked?
No, it just
it
sort
seems
of
like we all. It seems like we're all forming a box of thoughts, and then someone has to come over with a bat and be it bash the box away and
iconoclast of thought.
Yeah. So it's just another article. A lot of people have already have experienced it or read about it. See a NIMDA virus. So this has actually happened earlier in the month. But the NIMDA virus basically is a virus that uses a lot of exploits previously known in Windows machines and tries a lot of them to get in the machine and actually tries to exploit machines that have been affected by the Code Red virus. And it's a nasty one. And it kind of goes along. This could be considered a terrorist act, but it's got no face to it because we don't know who yet did it. But it's just another, won't cover too much because it's just another beautiful virus going around, just like the Code Red virus. And it's actually... NIMDA and Code Red actually affect Linux boxes that run Wine. So if you're running a Windows emulator inside of Linux, it'll affect the program in the emulator.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, and then it'll start sending out files, you know, like the CIRCAM virus. Mm. It'll start, like CIRCAM virus, Okay. Pierre's looking at me puzzled. When you're in Linux, you know a program called Wine or like VMware or other programs that allow you to run like a session of Windows inside of Linux. Well, Windows is affected by these things, right? Well, then they get affected while you're in Linux. Your Linux doesn't get affected, but the Windows programs do.
Right, so it's just, it's running off of the Windows program.
Yeah, so like the CIRCAM virus, which sends out your files, will go to your Linux directory structure and can send files from there too, because it doesn't care. That's what I heard, that CIRCAM virus can send, still affects you even if you're running an emulator.
So it's exclusively Windows or anything that runs like Windows.
The Windows product that's affected.
It'd be kind of weird if you could actually have all your operating systems emulated. And you have like one.
They do that.
It's real basic, a real basic operating system that just purely emulates. So when you have a problem, you just shut down one operating system, go to the other, and it has the same data, like because they can still link to each other. But you know what I mean?
Well, that would be like everything, you know, working off of a platform.
Yeah.
A simplified version is a redundant operating system. There's a lot of redundant operating systems that basically, you know, something shuts down, it's going to be started back up again. A lot of redundancy is built into operating system nowadays, and there's actually...
That sounds rather redundant.
Yeah.
You said it a lot, too.
Yeah. So, I'm going to break the cycle and keep moving on.
And quit being redundant.
Redundant bitch. Okay.
Don't call BR that.
It kind of sounds like system like mothers. Don't call VR that. Okay. All right. Supreme Court rejects Microsoft antitrust appeal.
Come on, guys. We're making room for competition. Come on. That court case was all bad. Give me a break. These guys.
Yeah, we only control 95% of the market.
And for some reason, we're not giving any of it away. So, okay.
Which is actually, you know, this is beautiful. I've been reading a little bit of Marx lately, and that's why I've been screaming about the proletariat and the bourgeoisie. Now, to take the whole like theory of socialism and Marxism to the next level of when the revolution of essentially the working class would actually really take over, you know, the modes of production. To balance the power, the whole thing of power, because you think about how corporations are the great big hierarchies, right? You have a few people that are really in control, and all these people that, you know, spurns out and do all the, you know, essentially the work of it. Well, now, because Microsoft is such a big, it's essentially a monopoly.
Now, the Anthrax sent to their offices.
Please.
The point is when throughout the whole world, when everything monopolizes to everything is controlled by one central company, that is the time when the proletariat can actually spontaneously revolt and take over and make everything a pure democracy. Why? Because through this complete monopolization of everything, there's the infrastructure, you know, to actually be able to, when the whole hierarchy of corporations is knocked down, to have pure democracy, because there's already the network of communication and technology in place.
Yeah, it's like if you put, if you made basically like a tree structure, and you put water at the base of it and turn it upside down and watch it branch. It'd go through each branch of the tree. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
If it was like a ditch, if it was something that carried water and branched off and branched off and branched off, you put in water from the top, let the gravity push it down, and it'll flow to each branch. So effectively, there's an Achilles heel that affects it all.
Well, it would essentially, you know, be taking the biological process here. Of taking it from a tree to a fungus in one fell swoop, that every part does the part of everything else. It's a really strange concept. It's kind of like taking the tree and smooshing it completely down to one level.
Well, yeah, which is kind of what happened recently.
Well, that was sick and wrong.
Well, we're not saying that that's a... Well, it's a little detailed, but I definitely don't think what happened was good, so I'll just say that.
But very interesting parallel there. The pattern was still...
You feeling that?
It was, give you tingles?
Huh?
It was a true analogy. I'm very proud of you.
Okay, thank you. The U.S. Supreme Court on Tuesday rejected Microsoft Corp's request to overturn an earlier ruling that the software giant violated U.S. antitrust laws. It says that right here in the article. The High Court declined without any comment or dissent to review the June 28th ruling by the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia, which concluded that, okay, basically, Microsoft had illegally maintained its monopoly over the market for personal computer operating systems. Microsoft had argued in its appeal to the Supreme Court.
Krispy Kreme.
Can I? This is really quick here.
People really have to have a lot of patience when we read these articles. You know what I mean? It takes about forever to read the whole thing.
This is really funny that there's actually, I forget where this happened, where the police in the police chopper actually landed in a nearby field, had some guy get out of the helicopter, and ran to a Krispy Kreme's.
Are you serious?
Yes, I am dead
serious. Oh, my goodness.
This has taken drive-through convenience to the next level, where now there is, essentially fly-through convenience stores, where you can land your helicopter, a few feet away, and send one of your friends in to go pick up a midnight, Krispy Kreme's helicopter run.
Oh, my gosh. You should land. They should put on the top of the building helipads, and then they land there, and they got their little box right off the side. You know what I mean? Or you know what? Or there's a radio, and you just put your transponder, or you just your radio, and you tune in the Krispy Kreme's frequency,
yeah.
And you say, "Meet me on the roof, buddy, with a pack of donuts," and then
yeah, I want a dozen glazed donuts, and they'd be sitting there warm and toasty, just waiting for you, and the Krispy Kreme goodness, because can't fly a helicopter unless you got a Krispy Kreme donut. And
Is that safe? Is that like using a cell phone when you're driving?
I would actually think it would be like flying a helicopter with a 12-pack under your belt. You have a Krispy Kreme donut or a 12-pack. Same, that would affect your functioning the exact
same. Oh, my gosh.
The same.
Controls are all creamed up in the Krispy Kreme.
And I do believe Krispy Kremes. If anyone from the corporation actually hears me, I want to be plugged for this.
Krispy Kreme. Krispy Kreme.
I want free glazed donuts for the rest of my life.
My address is. Please send them here.
Uh-oh, PR is getting corporate.
So that's the...
Okay, let's move on.
All right, that's the... I'm almost done with these. That's the... So that's pretty much the news on that front. I saved all the Microsoft stories for last. I kind of bunched things in order. This is a brief article about some of the stuff Microsoft's been doing. And I'm going to spit this out first, and then I'll read it. On Microsoft front page, 2002, in the README statement, before you press OK and you do the install, it says that this product cannot be used, and I'll probably look through and find it here briefly, but it can't be used in making websites that demean Microsoft.com, MSN.com, MSNBC.com, any Microsoft website. You cannot make a website with Microsoft Front Page 2002 that
defaces Microsoft
or any of their affiliates. So basically they're saying what you can do and what you can't do with their front page, which front page is a web editing program, makes web pages.
Well, that's in their full right to do so because it's their product. You're just licensing from them. You're not actually buying it because you can't install it again.
Well,
you're only licensing it for one installment anyway.
Well, we know that, but I'm saying what if there was a case where somebody was prosecuted for doing such a thing? Wouldn't it be so petty?
How would you know? Because you can go through and just change it anyway without...
Well, some people don't know. You know, they insert their meta tags made for Microsoft Front Page and stuff like that.
Anybody smart enough would be able to just go in and edit the
tags. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so all it is doing is going to be prosecuting, you know, like, you know, my mother making her, you know, a little web page that says, you know, and by the way, I really hated using, you know, Microsoft doing this.
They can't do anything about that because there's no good foundation. There's no marking digital signature that's saying that this person made it with this product.
Not yet.
Anybody could put that tag in there.
Not yet.
Anybody could change it.
I'm not saying that something had happened, but could be.
Yeah, in the future.
Here, let me read this whole thing. We can do a lot of griping. Now that we know Microsoft is going to remain one company, it seems an appropriate time to step back and take a look at the company's recent practices and what they tell us we can expect in the future. Readers have a wide variety of complaints about Microsoft on the gripe line during the last year or so. We've seen the Redmond giant quietly starting to force large OEMs to provide only recovery CDs for Windows, eliminate much of the free support it had provided for applications, invoke its license terms to keep an independent lab from publishing benchmarks, and harass whole sets of customers with demands for voluntary software audits, saying, hey, are you guys licensed? We're coming in your building and we're checking that out. It also has announced wholesale charges to its volume licensing that appear ultimately to offer consumers fewer choices and higher costs. If there is a common thread running through these moves by Microsoft, some readers believe that they see where Microsoft is headed, and they don't like it. I don't like the future I see with Microsoft that Microsoft is designing for us, and I, not only, do not steal software, I make my living writing and selling software, one reader wrote. Now I see Microsoft being incredibly intrusive, uploading information from my machine without my consent or knowledge of when or what has been taken. My zone alarm regularly catches them. I guess it's a program. At my computer via internet access when I am not running anything. When I installed Office XP, it started beating my hard disk with constant access. All of... You guys laughing?
No.
Nope.
Okay.
We're not laughing.
Now we are.
Beating my hard drive with constant access.
you just took that into a much more... interesting.
Kind of like that cam thing earlier, huh?
Yeah. It was all on his own.
He didn't even need us, the peanut gallery, to do that one.
He made up an excuse. His alternate little ego there made
Well, actually, that would be his id, actually, like, rose forth and took over the control from his super ego into degrading his, you know.
Right. More is found on the website. All of their additions... All of their additions. What do you need? We should do a personality page, and then everyone can call us a weird clan of computer activists. All of their additions seem to be aimed at destroying any real competition and locking us into paying every year for an OS. Where is this?
Computer militia.
I'm going to start developing uniforms, and then we can go ahead and talk to high school kids and get them to sign up.
Oh, wow. That's actually a really interesting idea. You could actually be hackers for hire.
Well, yeah, there's stuff like that all over. But
but
you got to be a hacker. I can do some stuff, but
I can't. But I can say I can't.
Just like rappers, some of them could say they're gangsters, but they're no gangsters.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, we got to really get back to this.
hard to finish a thought here.
Pay for nothing new. No competition. Rising prices for fewer packages in Office, the corporate intimidation police, and they still have the nerve to call us customers? Another link to the chain of the view of several readers in the forthcoming Windows product activation scheme for Windows XP. This figures to be a tremendous source of gripes from a variety of customers after the new OS ships, and some are already speculating how Microsoft might choose to employ it in the future. Color me cynical, but I believe Microsoft has a longer-term goal in mind with curbing privacy in casual installations, another reader wrote. Microsoft has made it plain that they will have a Delta tracking capability in XP to see how your configuration changes at any given time and if it changes too much, and have to reactivate your copy of the OS. Lots of potential there for annoyance, but there's a simpler and costlier extension of that. Suppose at some point Microsoft decides to make an infinitive granular versions of XP, and to do that, it starts charging for activation keys based on your system configuration. Your base system works fine for the original key, but to add a hard drive or more memory, the product activation informs you that you have to reactivate. At that point, there's nothing to keep Microsoft from declaring that your new equipment constitutes an advanced configuration, requiring you to pay more in order to obtain an activation key that would enable you to use it. If that seems outlandish, remember that many users already find themselves forced to buy a retail version of Windows because their PC manufacturer's recovery CD would not support new hardware. And the trend to Microsoft to innovate through its legal staff rather than through software developers could be abetted by product activation. Imagine the Boon Windows product activation promises for Bill's Legion of Lawyers, one reader wrote. No more having to wait for the next major release when they want to change the EULA and user license agreement. They can just send out a signal that disables everyone until they reactivate and click OK on the new terms. Do you suppose this is why Microsoft backs Uniform Computer Information Transaction Act, UCITA? Possibly I've long believed that one of the main motivations behind Microsoft's enthusiastic support for the UCITA has been the legal cover that law provides for the remote and or automatic disabling of customers' software. While we're on the subject of license enforcement, let me throw in a term that one alert reader just spotted in the license for FrontPage 2002. You may not use the software in connection with any sites that disparage Microsoft, MSN, MSNBC, Expedia, or their products or services. The license reads in part, good thing InfoWorld doesn't use FrontPage 2002 to post this column, I guess. So let's see. Microsoft is trying to control how consumers use OEM software, trying to control when customers upgrade its products, trying to control when consumers upgrade their hardware, and trying to control what consumers say about Microsoft. I think I see a pattern. What can we expect from Microsoft in the future is more of the same. Every move the company makes seems to take us one step closer to a world where it is Microsoft that makes the decisions, not the customer. If we didn't know it already, it's pretty clear now that the courts aren't going to restrain Microsoft from controlling its market. The only one who can do that is the person staring back in the mirror. Basically, saying it's you have your choice of making that happen or not, I think. But that's sounds like a bunch of crap, doesn't it?
Do you accept the fact that Microsoft is God? No. Power down.
You like Bill, don't you? He's a pretty nice guy. I think Bill sucks. Okay, your computer doesn't work.
Yeah.
All right, buddy.
You don't love him?
That's just sick.
What they should do is just hand out those little thumbprint identifier things and then keep a database.
Ooh,
it'd be cheaper for them.
There's a new...
Yeah, but see, this is all, like, pure, you know, technology. And so they can do essentially whatever they want in this realm, because we're all using them. Yeah, well, actually, we're not all using them. But this is how they keep control. This is how they've gotten so big as a monopoly, is by controlling their environment.
Well,
that is the intrinsic nature of a human being. We shape the environment to fit us.
Well, at first it was a user-friendly environment and consistent environment. But we've bought that, and now it's the next step.
Right, which they're just taking that to the next level of, you know, product uniformity. They don't want, you know, new configurations, and they're using that as, you know, as almost in copyright law. You change your configuration. Oh, you need a new licensing agreement. So this can only just get worse. Pretty soon, like, anything you do is going to be in conflict with what they want. Unless you are just going, here's all my money. Let me do my little thing, and then they'll be okay.
This is the thing. It's really simple. You have a service. You sell it. People like it. They buy it. Microsoft seems to think that they're not going anywhere.
Well, I don't see any reason. You know, there is no reason why they shouldn't.
Well, if consumers want to change their mind. But this is the next step. This is where it gets trickier. They say, oh, yeah, right, you're not going anywhere.
Well, yeah, this is just how they're even, you know, more enforcing their control upon the market. And they're making sure that they are not going anywhere. Because they foresee that the possibility through this mass conformity of this, you know, homogeny, that there will be a point where they can just be completely...
That was my coffee.
This is coffee talking.
You know, that through, you know, with viruses, as we're talking about, the uniformity that actually variation is good to ward off viruses.
Yeah.
That a new product that comes in that has, you know, more choices or whatnot can actually completely overthrow them. So what they're doing is they're enforcing their control even further upon the market and the people.
I agree with, you know, capitalism and you know, at some points, and I agree that, you know, if you have a product, you're going to want to do your best to keep it out there. And it's not through just innovation, because I guess that Windows XP is completely written from the ground up, and it's, you know, as far as its service, it's supposed to be better than the other versions, except for its TCP/IP benchmarks are actually slower than Windows 2000 is what I heard. But innovation is great, but it seems like they want to keep the majority. And the thing is that, you know, people are saying, okay, well, I see our mistakes in our company, Microsoft. Okay, great. You know, they've become less proprietary, except for their, you know, the source code. But they work on, you know, basically a PC system instead of Macintosh, where their, you know, most of their stuff is through their own Apple Corporation makes the processors and stuff like that. Actually, I think it's a Motorola processor. But basically, they diversify on a lot of fronts and get people involved, and they have the unique unified interface that's recognized and easy to pick up from version to version. You know, but other people are starting to do that too, and they have been doing it, and they're making it more broad and you know, stuff like that. And you know, when those people come in and they do it, they do those kind of things, and they say, you know, and then people, they'll have a choice to say, oh, you know, these guys, oh, their stuff's cool too, and Microsoft's cool too, and Linux is cool too, and Apple's cool too, and we've got some Sun, that's cool too. And all these basic ground services that people are expecting are being built in these products. But they're saying, well, hey, you know, these guys are coming along. No, forget them. You know, I mean, you're going to have to stay with us. You're going to need to stay with us. If you don't stay with us, you're going to be lost. Okay, we're your lantern in the middle of the desert, okay, and you're not going to be able to see anything once that thing goes out, buddy. And I just, you know, I'm kind of glad that they're not making their own demise completely, you know, but they're definitely waking some people up by doing some obvious moves. And that's a good thing, and that's, you know, that'll make alternative things more of a solution. So,
you know, what I can imagine Microsoft putting in next is that once you accept to these agreements, or these terms, once you accept these terms, you can't change your mind. Like, you know, like that. Once you agree to these terms, you can't.
Oh, yeah.
You have to have
it
this.
It sets the whole, like, frame of the rest of your life with them.
Yeah.
It is a permanent shackle.
It's almost like saying, you know, you have
it's
a,
like, in a way,
agreement.
It's kind of, it's like Satanist. I mean, that's an extreme term, but it's just bad. It's just no good. It's just not good for people.
They shouldn't say that, you know, you can't have something against Microsoft. You know, you may have some, you know, little problems with them. You know, like if you're making a website, that type of thing, they can't decide for you what you should like and not like.
Well, yeah, because that's a little extreme, because you're already using their product. You've given them your money. And then that is an intrinsic part of this country, is we are able to speak our mind. And yeah, no one likes 100% of everything or anything.
And
now, there's always little problems with it. Mm-hmm. But here that they're going, no, you can't even say anything bad about us. Then what are they hiding? What? You know, it really builds up a huge thing of trust that has been built into us by Freudian theory of whenever you put up a facade, well, you really mean the opposite is what you really are.
And when you press OK on those license agreements, you not only gave your money, you're giving a bit of your technology soul.
Yeah. Well, you're giving up a lot of your freedom as you're agreeing to live by those rules for using that product.
And the sad thing is, like, you know, we talked about before, that most people really don't follow those rules. You know what I mean? Oh, you can only install someone's machine. Yeah, right. If you buy Windows 2000, you stick it on all your house machines. You know what I mean? But now they're laying the framework.
Well, when you buy a CD, you can use it in your stereo, your computer, your car, you know, network. Yeah, you bought the CD.
But with region codes on DVDs, you only get to watch your DVDs in certain areas.
That doesn't make any sense.
And with HDTV, you can only record certain things, and other things you can't record, and you can...
Actually, I was thinking about from the whole capitalist system of the world, it actually does make sense. Because there are some places in the country where... let's put it into... Actually, I do believe it was a James Bond movie, Mr. Goldfinger, or Dr. Goldfinger, who would drive his gold car from country to country to where gold prices were higher, mm-hmm. and drive his gold car there, melt it down and sell the gold, make a profit. Buy more gold somewhere else where it was cheaper, and then have it made into a car, drive his car, or ship his car to that country where it was higher, and sell off his gold.
Why use the car? I'm just curious.
Well, because no one checked the car for if it was gold or not.
Oh, I see. Okay.
He just hid the gold as body panels of the car. Whereas actually the whole car was pretty much made out of gold. So all he was doing was going to different countries. And the value of his product changed.
Mm-hmm.
So the region thing on DVDs... is by one country, like here, this DVD would, you know, cost $20. When, like, in Southeast Asia, it might actually be worth, you know, $50-$75. So, you could actually have a whole company just, of just shipping DVDs around and making money.
Or even buying multiple players. Yeah. Yeah, it's all a ploy, and it's really...
Well, it's just how the system's been set up since World War II, that... You know, there are different countries with different amount of resources, and we take advantage of them because we're number one. And so we exploit everyone else. So another weird way of looking at this whole September 11th thing is that here, being one of the poorest, most untechnological, technologically advanced...
Just, they live in rocks.
Yeah, they are just above Stone Age with guns.
Hmm. That's kind of scary.
Yeah. This is... a huge, like, wanting to, you know, revolution of countries, of no longer workers to suppliers, but as, of low countries to bigger countries to then balance out the resources.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a whole redistribution of wealth through the world. Yeah, if you take it that way, it's really interesting to see.
It's like we're the Microsoft in a way of the world.
Exactly.
Oh, I already knew that, yeah.
You know, but it's it's just a little different way of looking at it. And so here we are, you know, bitching about Microsoft being this great monopoly. And here, you know, like Afghanistan is saying, you know, there's the U.S., which has way too much and has imposed its will upon our people for far too long.
Mm-hmm.
And here, you know, they can't. They can't go into.
If they want to progress, it seems like somebody else always has to tell them no, or this is what you can do.
Right, because they can't even go to Israel, and to pray at one of the, you know, like the most prized mosques that are there, because like every major religion, except for Eastern ones, has some great temple there. And they cannot go there. They cannot live there. They cannot be at the Mecca. The true, you know, one of the Meccas of their religion. Because Mecca is actually a little different. It's,
I still understand.
It's a big rock.
Yeah.
If all of the religions can go there, how come they can't?
No, not all. Not all.
Because it's the Israel state, and it's a
Well, we're really talking like Palestine, Israel.
Yeah. Actually, there's a...
But Palestinians are mostly Muslim, too.
Let me finish this last article, and then we'll actually...
No!
And then we'll be able to just blow up all over this stuff.
Okay, just get out of here.
Okay.
You're done.
I've been taken over. I've been held hostage.
Are we starting a revolution now?
He's a monopoly right there.
Oh, all right, let's take him down.
I've been given,
he's going down now.
I've been given plenty of my time.
Take this Gatorade bottle.
I didn't even give. I shared.
Okay. I want that back.
Well, you're going to have to get it because you threw it, sucker.
You don't do anything for me. I hate you.
That's because I'm doing everything myself, okay? And if you want to do something, you got to press okay on my...
user agreement.
I do not believe
read,
your God.
Yeah,
I want to have my own acceptance.
I'll do
disclaimer.
That for you.
Wait, can I?
If you give me your car.
You know, I want to petition Microsoft to have a blow-up button that instead of, like, there's, you know, like, okay and cancel and, like, a self-destruct. Because I might as well just self-destruct my machine right now.
Or you could just say, instead of going start menu, and you say shut down and give you the other options, it says, I'm sick of Microsoft. Install alternative now. And then you could choose an alternative. There you go. You're like, hey, you know, we're selling the Microsoft experience. Here's a Microsoft experience. Well, if you don't like it, here's your alternatives. And then you just click a button and install it, and there you go. Hey, that'd be great, huh? That'd be fix the monopoly thing right there.
Yeah, actually, that would. And then, you know, you could, like, run through all your options.
Yeah, it's only...
But that would be take an incredible amount of learning.
Well,
that's one thing that we really hate, is completely retooling the ways that we do things. And that's why there's still people who utilize folkways and mores and not... All right, I'm going off on my own little tangent.
Well, here, actually, let's finish this one we're talking about here. It's interesting. Is that, you know, so many people do so many things a day, coordinate so many different acts a day. Why can't you experiment learning something new? Everyone does it. I guess being a computer person, I guess computers to me are somewhat of a focus point, but I guess for others it isn't. And I guess I see. But the fact that the option is so far away, they say, "Ah, screw it! I don't want to go that far to get it."
Well, and it's all real process. So once you learn how to use, like, the Microsoft operating system. You know, it's kind of like going from being, you know, a whole new trade, in essence. Of going from being a millwright to, let's say, a carpenter. Big difference. You're still building stuff. You're still doing processes. But it's a completely different way of doing things. You know, it looks different. Yeah, it's organized different. You have to completely relearn how this little world works.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then we're lazy. We don't like to do that. Because how often do you essentially sell off everything you own
and buy back and buy something new?
Move somewhere else. Move to a different country. Learn a new language. And
yeah, it's such a pain.
Yeah, that's... Why? Okay, I can accept all these little, you know, hindrances as long as they come slowly. Now, if it was a major gigantic change, yeah, there'd be more people going, you know what? I'm really going to have to question my values here.
Yeah.
And saying, you know what? It's time to look for something new. But no, these all little changes come very subtly and very slowly. And so, it's kind of like, when you throw the toad in, you know, either you have him sit in the pot of water as you slowly turn up the heat, or you have it boiling and throw the frog in. One, he'll sit there and boil. And the other, he'll jump right on out.
What? You know that the Mac OS, you know, the Macintosh operating system, they basically sell computers with that operating system. You really can't get it anywhere else. Is that true?
Yeah,
it really has to go with their computer.
Yeah, it's got to... You get their operating system from them.
You see,
you can run Linux on it, but that's it. It's your only alternative.
You can download new versions of it.
Yeah.
I think they're up to like...
It's 10.1, I think.
No, they actually upgraded to 4.
No,
it was 10.04.
And then 10.0.4.
No, it was 10.04, and now it's 10.1.
Wouldn't it be best them to, when you buy a machine, it's kind of like what they're doing that Microsoft does now, but you buy a machine, you buy it with that operating system, you can't really do anything else with it, that's it. That operating system's on there, and you can't get rid of it. Isn't it better to do that?
Well, why that system works so well, and that's why they do it, is because they're the only ones that develop that. So that's why they are so much more stable.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they hardly crash and lock up.
They do. It's pretty much your fault.
Yeah, you seriously had to do something wrong for it to, to lock up.
Microsoft really should just do something like that. They should get their
Windows
own
XP.
Well, XP, but they should get their own computer that has their there's like encoded in the BIOS that you can't put another operating system.
That's actually what they're trying to do with Oracle.
And also how it runs, how efficiently it runs.
Yeah, they just perfected on their own.
Well, because they use a floating point test. I forget how it is, and it's always been much faster than like the Pentium or other Windows base.
No, because they have faster processors now, but it's more efficient.
Yeah, it's more efficient, which means that it actually the same amount of work
versus yeah.
It does it much faster.
Yeah, like Linux is faster in a lot of things than Windows. I don't know about versus Mac. That's actually what Oracle was, but their selling point was what they wanted to do is they wanted to sell you an Oracle system based off third-party manufacturers, but it was specced out a certain way across the board. 6 months later, they'll spec you out a new one across the board. But then they say, oh, I got a problem. I'm running Oracle 9, and I've got this certain configuration. They'll give you like a number, you know what I mean? And you talk to the technical guy that deals with all the issues that happen to that certain spec. Yes.
Wow. That is an incredible idea.
Yeah, great idea.
I think they should do that.
Yeah, and every 6 months or whatever, they give you a new spec, and some guy's already experienced with this spec.
Well, that they're completely trained in just that spec.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what they ship you, and you can't change it. Of course, you change your database, whatever you want. But that's their software. That's the spec. That's it.
That's their hardware. That's
it. But see, now what's really funny is now we're all jumping over this idea when this is a structural, confinement of what you can do. When we were just really, griping about Microsoft's function, what you can do.
Yeah, this doesn't control your function. It just controls your structure, which you don't mind because you knew what it was when you bought it.
Yeah,
which is really neat. Because here's the subjective one that we're bitching about.
It
but
removes
yet
the disclaimer.
But the institutional one we like.
Because it pretty much removes the disclaimer, the one that tells you can't hate Microsoft.
I see what you're going at. I see what you're talking about, VR. You buy the spec, and you're happy with the spec.
Right.
Yeah.
You have that choice of what level
but
functioning you want.
The difference with this is that the hardware spec is you don't care. You know what I mean?
Mm.
The operating system one is a little more tricky, and the guy sells, you know what I mean?
But and also with the... That is, you have a technical guy that's always going to be around. There's always going to be at least one guy who's
like
in the company that knows that spec.
Yeah, like we know that spec has this problem. Because basically he says, like, what we do is the CEO, I forget his name, he really hates Microsoft too. He was speaking about, in the last year's Comdex, he's really bashing Bill Gates, and it was great. And if you have any videos of that on the internet, you can watch it. They say, okay, we take a spec of a system, and we have our software, and we thoroughly test it. Thoroughly test it, best you can, And once they're happy, send it out. Any things that we know that, you know, we know about that you don't know about already, you need to call up. Hey, I got this one. Oh, it's right there. Go to press that switch. Boom. Put it on. You know, they know about that. Any certain issues or something like that, you know, most likely it'll be a good thing. If it's like a disaster or something, big problem or whatever like that, you know, maybe they'll do a, you know, deal saying, hey, we'll upgrade, you know, we'll move you to the new spec that's coming out that's, you know, that doesn't have that problem. But yeah, it's great. It's really good. Okay, let's, we can keep talking about that, but we're gonna get on to some other things.
I think I just like saying the word spec.
Spec.
Because is it a point or is it a spec? Because it's kind of like Particle Man.
Spec.
Particle Man, doing the things only Particle can. When he's underwater, does he get wet, or does the water get him instead?
One of those stupid videos that they have in class from the 60s.
No, it's actually They Might Be Giants song.
Yeah, I heard that a long time ago. It's old, isn't it?
Yeah, it's off of their, like, Lincoln album.
That was a funny song, right? Why'd they come up with that?
The Triangle Man.
Yeah, Triangle Man.
Doing the things that a triangle can. If they were to fight, Triangle Man, Triangle Man.
Oh my God.
Universe fan. All
right.
Doing everything universe can.
Okay. But he's got a watch with an eon hand, a millennium hand, and a minute hand. When they all meet, it's a happy land.
Dang. Okay.
They're on a high.
Last article.
I actually saw them in concert the other day.
Yeah?
Oh, it was one of the best shows, one of the best, like, small shows I've ever been at.
One last article, and then we'll talk about freely about some things. Americans back encryption control. 72% say new laws could help prevent repeat of attacks. Poll in the United States has found widespread support for a ban on uncrackable encryption products following the proposals in Congress to tighten restrictions on software that scrambles electronic data. The survey found that 72% of Americans believe that the anti-encryption laws would be somewhat or very helpful in preventing a repeat of last week's terrorist attacks. This is obviously an article about a month ago. Last week's terrorist attacks on New York's World Trade Center and the Pentagon. Basically, it's kind of talking about backdoors in encryption and restricting what encryption the public gets.
Let me tell you, I do technical or support online. All right, most of the people, I would say 99% of the people that I talk to are idiots when it comes to computers. I can't even get them to, like, click what double what click. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, some people think double click is like a special thing.
Yeah, they don't know the difference between single click and double clicking and
and right click. Is that something where I use my right hand only, or is it my left hand? Or
so think about that. Do they even know what the hell's even being said there? Encryption needed a backdoor. All they know is, hey, there's terrorists and the government needs to stop them. So
and they said that if I pour orange juice on a computer, it'll stop terrorist attacks. More orange juice produced now.
So don't listen to the people at this point. This is why I don't really believe in this whole everyone has a say and the majority rules.
Yeah, pure democracy, actually. That's why.
I hate that because most people are stupid. They're ignorant when it comes to certain things.
Well, and also, you know, just pure democracy and, like, impracticality would be absolutely overwhelming. Because imagine, you know, if we lived in a pure democracy, like, you go home every night after you do your job. Yeah, for 8, 10, 12 hours, however long. And you come home and you click on your government inbox. 20 hours later, it will be done downloading the day's events. Because everyone could write a bill.
Yeah.
Everyone could form a committee. Everybody could change.
I'm the anti-gummy bear act. I'm sick and tired. They never put my favorite color on the gummy bears.
Exactly. That is the exact kind of thing that would occur.
Are they racist to violet gummy bears?
Right. But then there would be some really, really great ideas that would come out of it. But there would be a whole lot of stuff. So imagine reading through all that. It would take you a week to get through a day's events.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why you know, a republic, actually, it's kind of nice. Because otherwise it's absolutely just mind-blowing. And even if you talk, like, your representatives, that is a freaking full-time job.
I think they're doing too much. You know, the people who should actually vote on whether or not encryption should have a back door are the people who made encryption. The people who understand it the best.
Yeah, they should actually be, the forerunners of it.
And, you know, the fact that we have these, you know, representatives that you represent our ideas.
Some of these politicians that hear about how computers work and they want to, we need to do this.
Well, that's too
they bad. Can't even format their floppy drive, you know what I mean?
Well, see, ideally, that should be like, there should be like a, a subcommittee on encryption.
Well, what
that is made that, you know, that gets informed, that keeps up on, you know,
like
the current technology of encryption.
Well, you know, like the
so they can make those judgments.
Well, you know, like the president or whatever, they have this advisory, political advisor, computer advisor, you know. Hey, I don't know what we're going to do about this whole computer thing.
He's probably an idiot, too.
Well, I think you need to do this.
You know, really,
on the whole cabinet thing, is George W.'s presidential IQ. There's some people that have actually devised this from the words that they use in speeches, how many times they make mistakes, you know, what they talk about and all that, and devise, you know, and bring that to an IQ level. Well, Clinton's presidential IQ was like 180.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, which that's why he's
really good.
Yeah, that's actually
crowd
really
pleaser.
Good.
Because I don't know what their actual.
Well, like a standard, you know, like a normal would
like
be 100.
Well, I didn't know if their level was.
See, yeah. I'm not really sure on like what their standard deviations or what their medians would be.
Yeah.
But just if you parallel that with like regular IQ, that's really good.
Yeah, he.
Because a standard deviation is 15.
Well,
units.
Einstein was like 150 or 160, wasn't he?
No, 146.
Yeah, so that 180 is just, blows out of the water, Adam. So that,
right,
that's why
I
didn't understand that.
That's almost
Clinton kept his options open. You know what I mean? Everything he didn't really pick sides, and then he passed stuff at his own leisure.
Right, but George W. Boy
picked
now,
sides, but not amazingly picked sides.
At his own sexual leisure.
Was 90.
Yeah.
It was like 91.
I could tell a huge difference when you just listen to one of his little speeches. It's
well, if
yeah. Would you think about it now? What he would do is essentially synthesize what all his cabinet members do or tell him.
Mm-hmm.
So the ideal thing is you get some really bright people to advise you.
That's exactly what he had Cheney.
Well, yeah, and that's what's really sad. So imagine if he has all these exceptionally bright people advising him. And his presidential IQ is 90. Couldn't we have a, you know, German Shepherd as president?
That's why I say presidents are nothing but, you know, they're icons.
Well,
they're
nothing.
They really should be is like a common, you know, like you meet those guys that just have absolutely phenomenal common sense of how the world works. That should be the president.
Yeah, but the problem is, those type of people don't want to be the president.
Right, because they have the common sense enough to go, no, that job sucks.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it.
Kind of Murphy's. Well, JFK, I guess, in a way, kind of emanates a lot of that.
Oh, but he was really strange.
Well, I know he wasn't the utopia, but I'm saying what he did was he was just a lot
I
of common
I wonder why he was the only one that really was shot well, you know?
He was shot so well?
Yeah.
It was just...
Like, what if there was something that wasn't just, you know, some guy that just wanted to kill him? It was like something like the government knew.
Yeah, what's really strange is I just had thought thinking about that because I just read an article on Fame that talked about how sickly JFK was.
The artist hit the mic really hard.
How do you hit the mic when you're facing it, talking into it?
Well, I've turned in my chair. I'm not looking at the mic. Otherwise, it frightens me because it's this phallic thing sticking me in the face and I don't want to look at it.
You got a piece of metal hit your tooth. It really bugs the crap out of you, you know?
Well, the JFK was actually a sickly kind of man. even though he was like bronze and looked rather healthy, that was actually from a skin disease.
Really?
Yeah. That he actually had scarlet fever at a really, you know, when he was an infant, was sent away and spent quite a bit of time in hospitals. And so he had created this whole facade of strength and, you know, of health and power. And that's what was perfect for the presidential persona. But it was kind of nifty. Why was he shot so well? And I was like, oh, maybe he knew he was dying.
Yeah, maybe he set it up.
Yeah. It's like, that's something that hasn't been brought up yet.
Because I didn't even know that he was sick.
Yeah, well, I just read an article on fame and all that for a class of mine that illustrated that. Because it was done in the whole Freudian perspective of whatever you actually are, you give off the impression of the opposite. Hmm. Like, if you're really flamboyant, you're actually really insecure. If you're, you know, really dominate your... If you're really aggressive, that means you're actually really passive. You know, it's that whole, essentially, paradox.
So then I'm extremely weird, because sometimes I act serious, sometimes I act like a gay guy. I can't help it. I don't know what the hell I am.
Okay, as far as what? Let's classify that. I don't know.
That would be like bisexual. That would be like bisexual.
And then sometimes I'm violent. Actually,
that would be multisexuality disorder.
But he's not having sex.
That's true, though.
Maybe you were truly homosexual by the ancient Greek definition of homo, meaning hand.
You got me.
Well, the thing with Bush, let's get back to Bush. Is
oh, we're talking about more sex. Yeah, because
why am I bringing up the word Bush now? What
we have? We have a dick.
Yeah.
We have a bush, and we have a colon.
If I can say this on air, his name is Genital Colon Bowel the Turd. That's his full name.
Yeah.
That's it.
Did you hear that somewhere or something?
Brett, my brothers made it up partially, and then
my brother's address.
they made it up, and then I added a little something along, like in high school. We did this. I did the heard it in high school and added it to it a little bit, but not much. It was
an
interesting, funny thing.
Bush, I mean, he probably felt confident, you know, since his father was present. Of course, if his father wasn't present, I don't think he'd be there at all. You know.
Probably not.
But
why? Because we love legacies.
Oh, yeah. We like creating, we like watching a story happen, yeah. Making it.
Well, the Kennedys, the Camelot thing. Here's this whole family of aristocrats in this country, and we made them that way.
But throughout this whole what I've noticed about Bush is like I originally didn't vote for him, and I a lot of things I don't like what he does, but I noticed what he's been doing lately is really good, and it seems like the reason. It seems like I'm finally seeing, only on this portion, you know, Bush is, he's really feeling it himself, because this is what he can relate to, and he's bringing out his full colors, you know, because he's got a lot of feeling for this. Everything else is kind of like, I don't know what to do, you know, he's nervous, listens to what people say. He doesn't seem like he's bringing the full brunt of that, because he doesn't have that quality in a lot of areas. But in this area, you know, he understands patriotism. And he understands our way of life, you know, in a way that he values it. And I think that's why he's handling it so well. I don't know if you guys disagree, but I think he handles it very well because he's like, hey, this is something I understand. I feel passionate about it. I can talk about it. Hey, boom, 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 knocking them down, taking their money, going over there, setting the bombs, putting in, you know, aid for those people because we want to make it clear, you know, the guy's right on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he is doing a good job with that. And he did really good getting everybody, the rest of the world pretty much, on his side.
Yeah,
that would be incredibly easy.
Especially,
yeah.
But
the fact that it was done, you know, I can't think of anything else that could be being done better.
Well, actually, I have a hard time believing that was actually his personal thing. He was probably wanting to push the button that, you know, that afternoon.
I think I could see him ranting and raving and cussing because, you know, Butch to me seems like one of the good old boys. And
how many people did he do capital punishment in Texas with? So he has no problem like doing nothing and letting people die. So
yeah, I can see him going back.
Something.
Oh, we're gonna kill him. Hey, we can't do that. We're gonna. All right. Okay. Well, you held me back. You know.
Yeah. So it's not that big of a deal. I really think the advisors and everyone was like, you know, we really need to wait on this and see how this all turns out. And, oh, well, what do you know? All these countries are showing their support for us because they understand that, wow, if America goes, so do we.
Yeah. Of course, they were attacked also because there's a lot of their people.
Mm. Oh, yeah. There was actually
80 different.
It really just was an attack on
people.
Us. That's what it was.
That's what I heard. 80 different
countries.
Yeah.
People.
There's actually one from Chile. Yeah, that's all I remember. I was actually seeing in the newspaper where they actually broke it down from how many people from different countries. And I was just kind of... It was neat to see the countries where there was just one from. Where was I going with that? Oh, wow. My poor little one-train mind.
Huh? What?
You're talking about Bob Bush and how easy it was for him to get this set up. As far as
oh yeah, so
I know a lot of people contributed. It's not just Bush. I know Bush is speaking from many different things. But
well, see, what's really neat is all right is England's been going through terrorism of its own for the last 50 years with the IRA, but has the world united with them?
Yeah, isn't that weird? I thought it was funny. Really, I was thinking about that. Other people have terrorist attacks all the time, and No big deal, but us, all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah, the World Trade Center gets hit, and the world unites. Why? Because...
It was the World Trade Center.
Right, because it was a symbolic, hit, nuclear destruction...
To freedom countries.
...of the world's economy.
Yeah.
And so that affects every single one
of
us.
Yeah, we all said, hey, who are these little cockroaches? Yeah, heck yeah, let's get together and get them out of here.
That's the problem.
So
there's one. There's 12 more somewhere hiding.
So it hit... those two collisions were at, the symbol of our world economic power and our world military power. Because how much of the UN troops over the last, so many years have been U.S. troops fighting under the U.S. the UN flag, which is unconstitutional, I might add.
Okay, you lost me slightly.
You know,
okay.
What is it? War of 1812, British burnt down the White House, but now they're helping us fight the Taliban. It's kind of a weird pair.
My banana.
My banana. Tally me banana. Have you heard the three versions of that song?
Yeah.
Come Mr. Taliban, tally me. You know that song?
Yeah.
There's three versions of that song. Come Mr. Taliban, here comes the bomb now. Daylight come, we come bomb the town.
Oh, God.
So, but,
that's one of the reasons why D.C. is, they designed it to be confusing for foreign diplomats, so they never know where they were while being driven around. So they couldn't go and report back and say, oh, yeah, the Capitol building is next to this one, which is next to this one, so they could get landmarks.
Yeah, in Arizona, we got that grid system where we're losing.
Oh, it's just like, oh, that's the corner of Washington and...
I can explain our streets to somebody in 15 minutes. I guarantee you they'll have 60 to 70% remembrance of how it works.
Yeah, it's absolutely phenomenal. That's why this city boasts as the best-run city in the world. If you see their little sign, Phoenix...
Because we have Sheriff Arpaio. Yeah, right.
Arpaio.
Our pile of dung.
And our friend just got out of Tennessee City the other week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was like, that's the most relaxing weekend I've ever had. I was absolutely amazed. He was like, yeah, I got through an 800-page book in a day and a half.
Wow.
That is torture because I hate reading.
Wow.
Don't do that to me.
I like reading.
Yeah,
I like reading it.
Well, it's Needful Things.
Needful, I didn't like that movie.
Okay.
Books are always better.
I thought it was kind of gay. It's kind of silly. You know?
Okay, well.
All right, you use the word gay, And now from the Freudian perspective, I'm going to say that you actually associate yourself with that.
I'm gay.
Yeah.
All right, Dimitri's gay. We'll post it on the website.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like women, though. I can't help it.
Okay. Well, let's stick to the subject, which is broad, but we're trying to stick to it.
Broad, women, skirts.
Non-gay.
Gay.
Okay. There's too much liquid nail in this place.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about current events. Okay. So we're already talking about, we're already tying our background in. We already set the stage.
Now it's time for a dramaturgical performance.
Huh?
By Dr. Slip. Please sign here before the procedure begins.
I will not be negligent during my performance. Meaning, I will not jump out of an airplane wearing a parachute.
So, okay.
That was our moment of Zen.
Yes.
The Daily Show. John Stewart.
Oh, you know that they paired quantum mechanics with Taoism?
Oh, actually, yeah.
Big time.
Well, I read a book a while back called The Tao of Chaos. Absolutely phenomenal. It used a whole lot of, like, Brahmin physics and a little bit of...
Brahmin? Is that what goes in my top ramen soup?
No.
Oh.
No, but it could be an element if I said Brontium. But it was Brahms. A lot of Brahms theorems. And they're like, there's no actual central location to the universe. Really nifty stuff. That was a few years ago.
I'm the central location.
What?
I'm the central location of the universe.
Actually, it's supposed to be a black hole.
Well, actually, that's the center of the galaxy.
Oh, my bad. That's right. Milky Way.
No problem.
Okay. I helped the deviation of the subject. All right.
This is actually an incredible show of just absolute variation upon variation, tangent on tangent.
Yeah, it's great. It's kind of just a free talk, but...
Huh?
I like the difference. You're gay, so be cool.
I forgot, dude. Thanks for reminding me.
Okay, I really want people to know that we don't hate gay people. I have no problem with gay people. That's okay.
As long as they don't try to do anything.
Yeah, and even when the gay guy hits on me, I just say, hey, I'm straight. And that's it.
And he goes, yes, straight back to my place.
And I said, it's okay. And he says, oh, God, that's another story, but I'm not even going to talk about it. Okay, so current events.
A gay guy hit on me one time. It was kind of funny. He wanted me to move in with him in a way. It was like he was hinting that.
What? You just play golf with him today. His name's Paul.
Let's hope he's not listening right now.
No. Okay, well.
That's kind of weird, dude.
No.
Well, if he's one of our four listeners. So.
Yeah.
If you guys want to know about 80s rock bands, talk to Paul. Okay? Because he knows. All right, we're probably boring anybody else that's listening other than ourselves.
I'm kind of bored.
Okay.
Actually, it would be really interesting to actually trace how many times we variated on different tangents.
Let's just see if we can actually get back into a...
Yeah, if we actually, like, come full circle from... Or if we actually went somewhere.
Make a trail.
Well, the full circle might happen in the next show. And it'd be funny because JP will have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, and he'll be completely and utterly lost, and we'll make a lot of fun of him.
I don't think you'll make fun of him because of that. I think you'll make fun of him because of his hair.
Oh, you know what I'm going to do next weekend?
What did he do to his hair?
He did it.
I did it.
You did it?
Oh, my gosh.
Are you a freaking beautician now?
I don't know. What were you thinking? It
was great.
I can't believe he enjoys his hair.
Okay, JP. All right.
JP is actually liking his hair?
He loves it.
Oh, my gosh. I did it. I designed it.
I think it's a scientific experiment. That's what I think.
I designed his hair. You ever seen the board... You know, when you ever seen Qbert, the video game?
Yeah.
You see how it has, you know, the levels?
Uh-huh.
Okay, where Qbert jumps down?
Yeah.
Well, his hair has multiple levels in certain areas. Bald one area, high one area, medium one area, all over.
Well, of course he would love that. That's, like, all about his whole, like, levels of consciousness and understanding.
Well, I put that all over, and then did he actually dye it?
No, he wants to.
To red, white, and blue, right?
Yeah,
I bought a whole bunch of hair dye. Not hair dye, but it's just you just spray it on for the weekend. I'm going to have my hair all crazy next weekend. it's fun.
You see, I think you would have a better... It needs to have a little more structure to it. It's just a little bit too... Like he came out of an insane asylum. It's just kind of like...
Yeah, he does.
He did his own
nuts.
Hair. He looks...
Oh,
really,
that's
an experiment.
Yeah, that's really cool.
It's interesting, though, because it's like an experiment. People are like, what the hell? You know, looking at him, you know... And it, to me, it just seems like he's trying to prove a point. You know, not like he really likes the hair. He's doing it to prove a point.
Hmm.
And he's not telling me.
Well, that's what's kind of really hard about statements like that. If no one actually knows what kind of point you're trying to prove.
I'll tell you after the show. I'll tell you some of the stuff. Okay, so current events. Really would like for us to talk about this. Okay, well, we had the terrorist acts on the 11th. We retaliated, and for the last seven and a half days, we've been bombing Taliban targets and sending in humanitarian aid and helping the Northern Alliance in whatever ways to fight the Taliban. We're also maybe talking about a nation building as far as not really us contributing to as far as money-wise, but setting up the means for the road of democracy. And we've had a couple issues about reporters talking too much, and I think some of them did. Specifically in the thing saying that, you know, you're talking with somebody saying about, like, terrorist acts and stuff like that, and this wouldn't work, that would work, this would work. Well, you know, if you took a piece of this and you strap some dynamite to it, along with some, common household products such as this, this, and that, and then put it next to this building at, of course, 4 o'clock in the morning, because that's the best time, and then press the button, and boom, we're all, you know what I mean, that's...
Yeah, they're too informative.
Yeah.
You know,
By the way, Luke Air Force Base is where we house all of this.
And we can destroy them by doing this.
Yeah.
You know.
And one of the soldiers talked about the weakness here. You know what I mean? And it's just, if some of them are, like, looking for good ideas, like, yeah, we got a couple ideas. Man, what should we do? Oh, my gosh, did you just see that, Ashlamid, on the television? That is the greatest thing. We should try that, you know.
Yeah.
But, So, okay, there's that, and then there's the anthrax scares now, and scares and, you know, actual anthrax in Nevada, Florida, and New York. Then the talk of bioterrorism as far as talking about what it is and how it affects you and which viruses do what. And how probable they are to be in someone's hands, as far as, you know, Osama bin Laden or Iraq, and terrorists in the States.
Well, actually, it was kind of nifty. I haven't checked this up because I haven't turned on my computer in probably, good 3 or 4 days. As I was just thinking about this now, is there's probably an internet site that will teach you using household products and utensils on how to create evolve, you know, different bacteria strains.
Well, I was going to say the Anarchist Cookbook, but that doesn't do the bacteria strains.
They do that in high school, don't they?
They do that at MIT.
Yeah, but, there's ways, like, I actually saw it. It was a joke site that was boasting that their next upcoming thing was how to clone your neighbor's wife. Which I thought they were talking to me personally.
You don't need to covet anymore because you can create her for yourself. No more coveting.
Yeah, that just kind of what triggered that thought is, you know, this guy, you know, or girl, or whoever is doing this anthrax thing is probably a good old homegrown American. Boy, just trying to settle some old scores. That anyone can do this, and anyone who has half a brain can figure most of this stuff out anyway.
Yeah, you know, I think it's kind of funny, though, that we talked about the anthrax scare, you know, like anthrax possibly coming in and doing stuff to us, then all of a sudden it happens.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't planned out before, possibly. It was like someone's watching us and then having fun. It's like, ooh, they could do this. Oh, well, they could do this. And they go, oh, that's a good idea. Let's do this now.
Well, in the news, bioterrorism has been for a couple of months, you know, because of their places, Iraq and stuff like that, of types of attacks of that nature. So that's kind of been a small buzzword. I knew it was going to come up. You know, the next thing that's going to come up, guarantee ya, is don't send your kids out on Halloween. The candy's poisoned.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's so old. And
well, I know, but I guarantee you this time it's going to be a much bigger message. You know what I mean?
I actually heard, don't go to the malls on Halloween.
Yeah. Malls? Why?
Yeah, I got. You know what's weird?
Did JP tell you that?
Just, no.
Oh, well, anywhere there would be a mass amount of people because, like, terrorists could come up dressed like everyday people and come and take over the malls.
Well, see, that's the thing. There's a woman. I don't know if this story is true. You hear a bunch of weird. My friend said that there's a woman at his church that I think has a sister, which is going on and on and on.
Like the whole brothers, roommates, yeah. Girlfriends, friend-in-law.
This is what she said. This is kind of funny. It's interesting in a way. Her sister is married or was married to a Saudi guy.
You know what? The email I read says that that person knows someone that their sister was married to a Saudi.
Is there an email going out?
Oh, yeah. It's everywhere.
So that woman probably just read the email then.
Yeah, and then the best way to justify your argument is make it personal.
Ah.
No, okay, this is what I was going to say.
I can't even believe
anything. Have you seen how crazy it
never,
is?
Never, never, ever believe
I just thought
anything
it could
you
be
hear
idea.
If you've
right
seen
off the bat.
If you've seen how crazy it is, as far as, like, hey, you've seen some, like, Patriot picture, or you've seen, like, a picture of Osama bin Laden, you know, and the Eagles, like, biting his head, or if you see, or if you read a piece of email, for some reason, when you go to work or when you talk to somebody you know, they read the same darn thing, and you didn't send it to them.
Oh, no. The
whole thing is propagated to everybody.
The internet has proven 6 degrees of separation. That everyone is in contact with everyone else through the internet now.
Spinning electrons. Spin one, the other one goes.
Whee!
No, it's crazy. It's weird. It's so weird. I'll come in.
Well, there's been times where I've gotten emails, like, last week I got an email that I actually got a year ago. I just got it again. It's been floating around. It went dormant for a year. And then it popped back up and reared its ugly little head and showed up in my inbox just to disturb me once again.
Yeah, it's like viruses.
Like little Ebola email?
Ebola mail.
Email?
Ebola mail. Actually, it's kind of a bad joke. But I was, you know, those guys that get on the commercial and say, like, it makes your brights brighter. It makes your whites whiter.
Oh, yeah.
Get Thrax off. Like, instead of Monistat 7, get Thrax off 3. That's right, better than Thrax off 5. It gets rid of the anthrax in 3 days because you're dead after 4. Call and get your Thrax off now. And if you call now, you'll get your Thrax off and another bottle of Thrax off, just in case one of your relatives gets anthrax. So that's, yeah.
See, that's really strange.
He's too
strange.
Good at that.
Yeah, that is really sickening.
Oh, I seriously love watching infomercials.
Yeah.
I haven't bought an infomercial product yet, but isn't it great how it takes, you could get a twig in the forest, and this guy will make you feel that this is the best twig you've ever seen. You are so happy to watch it. You're like, my life sucks, but there's a twig out there that does everything
I
need.
There was on the Daily Show, there was actually a little segment that they had of ad nausea, where they actually had the state coin bears.
What?
That they had a half hour. infomercial on coin bears that they had the state coin sewed into their foot.
What the heck?
And they had the picture of the state on their chest. And at what number were they inducted into the United States?
Oh.
Why? Because, you know what? I really, really was looking for something to integrate my lifelong passion of collecting bears and my new, and my soul being of wanting to collect coins.
And my 50-state coin collection.
Wow! Here's something that I can do my two favorite passions at the same time!
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was really sick and wrong. And they were pitching it as educational, too, because the guy could actually list the states in order as they were inducted.
Yeah.
What the heck?
Wow! Kids could know what first 10 states were inducted into the U.S. because of these bears going sewn into their foot. Well, now I can cuddle and nurture true value. Why? Because there's actually a coin sewn into the foot.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. There's tears in my eyes. Oh, my goodness. Oh.
Woo! That was good.
Oh, gosh.
That was much needed.
It's kind of like bass fishing. You know? Oh, yeah. On the fishing show.
Wait, now, if they're really fishing for bass, why do they keep bringing up fish and not bottles of beer?
Oh, yeah, the beer.
See, that I would watch.
Yeah.
If I could watch people fishing for beer. Now, that would take real skill. Why? Because there's no lure for beer except for money.
Beer is the lure.
Yeah, but then you would just get... All right, that was going to go really bad there for a second.
I think it's funny, though. Did you see the show that's...
Wait, no, that's what frat boys do. They fish for women with beer.
Or do the women really want the beer?
No, they fish for women to flaunt while they drink their beer.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
Do you see the show? It's like gold hunting or whatever it is.
Oh, gold prospecting.
Gold prospecting.
Oh, yeah, that guy's got
gold. Oh, love that show.
Oh, my gosh, love I hate that thing.
The guy's got a pan, and he just, yeah.
They just sit there and go like, okay, and this is go, okay, you get it like this, over and over again. Nothing amazing about it.
What's actually phenomenal is I actually went to a gold prospecting show in one of the civic centers. That is a multi-million dollar business of people designing and making products to get more gold out of the ground. Wait, what you're doing is you're investing in the stuff that, you know, gets gold out of the ground from nothing that's free. So you can get more
stuff. So you
gotta
get enough gold
So you can get more stuff to get more gold out of the ground so you can pay for more stuff to get more gold out of the ground.
Where do you get anything?
But where'd you get the gold in the first place to get the stuff so you can get the gold?
They actually had to work.
Oh, wow.
At McDonald's.
Wait. Yeah, so now I have to work and getting money so I could get money.
Yeah, the initial cost never gets paid off either.
No.
Meanwhile, that money's gone, and yeah, it's wow.
But they have some really nifty contraptions. But I did learn that the golden fleece, you know, from mythology, is that that's actually a slewing technique that you take actually sheepskin, you know, with the actual wool on it, and you kind of pan out your, and you actually kind of like throw dirt over it, and the gold will actually stick in the fur, and that's why it was the golden fleece, because it was actually a way of extracting the gold from the fine, like the fine iron ore and dirt.
Okay.
But it was really kind of strange how it got interpreted that you couldn't wear the gold from the golden fleece. It was really strange, but that's okay.
That's okay.
That is a completely different tangent.
So, You guys listen to the news very much?
Nope.
No.
Not lately.
Yeah, that's why I got it in my head and you guys don't have it in yours. I just think the anthrax thing is pretty much either it's some guy that's got a, you know, something going on, or the terrorists are like, well, we're going to do something while we're waiting for the big boom. You know what I mean? It's not effective.
Or what is it, you know, like how we think the chances of retaliation is 100%. Well, what if they are now doing, for every bomb that's dropped, there's going to be a case of anthrax in our country? True, kind of eye for an eye. And the world will be blind. Or immune from anthrax after a while.
Well, the anthrax to me is just from, you know, hearing about it is really not, it's not a very effective thing to do. It's, everyone now is, you know, is panicking when they see a white powder. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I just powdered the baby. Oh, my God, you know, it's not anthrax.
Well, there was a Washington, D.C. subway station that was shut down because, you know, they saw some guy spraying stuff. Well, it turned out to be cleaner.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's, you know, and then, what was it, a plane had to land and stuff, and it was confetti? It was confetti?
That's way, way beyond the bounds of good taste. Or common sense, really.
Some of those people, to me, you ever seen somebody do something and you're like, what the heck? Why did they focus so much to do that? You know what I mean? Like, let's just say you're driving on the freeway and somebody hits the brakes, or you see somebody driving weird in front of you. Some people hit the brakes and stay way far away from that car. I'm like, screw that car. I better not go in my lane. You know what I mean?
Well, it depends on what you're able to work with. Because you're willing to take your chances to drive past the drunk guy and possibly have him swerve into you or run up on you on the when you're in front of him, he can actually like run up and hit you.
What's the word describing the people that are ultimately, whatever that word is, when it comes to those type of things?
Well, it's actually
conservative.
Yeah, it's very conservative.
Yeah,
it's
super conservative people, and they
ultra conservative.
It's gotta be ultra.
They're quite right wing.
Yeah, ultra conservative to do you know, the whole plane thing. But on the other end, you don't know.
Well, actually, that's just, you know, well, what's really the difference between that and like an agoraphobic? There's not much, except one is actually willing to get out of the house.
Yeah, it's pretty weird.
Well, what I'm just trying to do is make a parallel between, you know, ultra anything and, you know, disorder.
The thing that I'm thinking about lately with all this terrorism stuff is the fact that when they say, you know, there'll be more terrorist acts, is maybe they mean that they really haven't ramped up enough to do a terrorist act now, but it's inevitable in the future because of the hate that our country has. You know what I mean?
Well,
so it may not be like an immediate worry, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. And also, all right, what we're essentially doing with this, you know, this whole bombing, even with our surgical preciseness that we can do with our you know, technological weapons, is we're still, you know, like taking a really big fly swatter, going into the dark, you know, pitch black bathroom, and trying to smash cockroaches.
Oh, yeah.
It's still just kind of the scatter approach. And so there's always going to be someone.
Oh, yeah. They're talking about
just how much initiative do they have.
Yeah. So we're trying to do the fact of taking their, trying to keep the cash, you know, from the people that...
Yeah, because that's the medium that they can use to do it with. Because you can't get on a plane unless you have money. Yeah, you can't buy a box cutter unless you got some cash.
5-finger discount.
Yeah, but you can't 5-finger discount a airplane ticket.
Well, yeah. But, it's just... when Bush said, you know, we're going to fight... we're in the war on terrorism. I was like, what? What are you talking about? You know, because
There, once again, that's a way of domination of the proletariat, you know, the bourgeoisie to the proletariat. Is they're trying to, you know, to keep this imbalance of power, you know, stable.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, and I know that, but I was just thinking that the... I was just thinking...
Sure.
Of course.
Forza V3.
Yeah. I just, you know, going out relieving myself to come back and find out that we're, you know, smashing cockroaches in the dark is kind of weird.
And they're keeping the whole bourgeoisie, you know, empowerment established.
Oh, yeah, whatever.
But,
yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
But,
just laugh like a big fat man and be my Ed McMahon.
Oh, my goodness. You call me fat? You call me fat?
Oh, touchy issue. Somebody has an issue. Do you need a tissue?
You're fat and gay.
Oh, no!
Oh, darn, should have brought
the
tissues.
Okay, so, that,
I'll buy.
Yeah, you'll buy anything.
Yeah, I'll buy. Am I gay? I didn't know
that. Will you buy my anthrax? You know, anthrax actually had a thing saying that, hey, we're sorry about the name. We didn't really mean it to be anything like this. To mean that?
To mean what?
Well, because anthrax is named Anthrax.
The band.
Oh, yeah.
They wanted to tell people that we're not trying to offend anybody, even though they've been that way for about, what, 10 years?
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, that we'll go and infect your populace in the name of, you know, Bin Laden. Oshma, whatever.
But, yeah, okay, the war on terrorism, I think what we're doing is right as far as the things, the steps we're taking. But it's getting a little more complicated as far as...
Well, I tend to disagree on that one.
Okay.
Why? Because we can invoke the G5 policy in our foreign policy. Instead of creating war, we can actually go in there, fund them, build them infrastructure, houses, agriculture, all of that.
Give them a reason to like us.
Oh, give them something to lose, maybe?
Yeah.
Well, then they'll burn it because they say it's coming from the Western pigs.
Yeah,
oh,
they
but
would,
then you bring it in from the East.
Actually, that's one thing that they're worried about is all the China troops that are bordering the Afghanistan war borders. Because there's a lot of Chinese Muslims.
This is the beginnings of World War III.
Oh, yeah.
This so is.
I don't know if it's World War III, but it could be, and it could. I know it's the beginnings of something. Definitely.
We didn't start the fire. Actually, what was it? It was something laid out. I forget who was telling me this. Okay, that every like generation has had their war. There's like the little preemptive things.
Generation D.
For
oh god,
dummy.
Yeah, thank you.
I was just talking about you. I don't. What was he saying?
Yeah, no, that's you know, my little brain cell is going wee.
Wee.
I have no idea where
hello,
I am.
Hello.
But so all these generations have had their wars. But now in the late the 90s and all that, is we had, you know, like hostage situation, like terrorism, blah, blah, blah. Now these, we thought those, you know, like the whole Persian Gulf thing, we thought that was our war. No. That was just the precursors for it. For our major life-changing, world-altering, you know, conflicts.
Yes.
We're in interesting times is basically what they are trying to say.
What he's trying to say is we're at the end of the world and we're all going to die soon.
Yeah, well, actually, but that would be the beginning of something completely new.
I know, it would be.
Oh, I know it is.
For 1,000 years.
Those guys, what was it?
Why only 1,000?
That's a biblical thing.
Okay. I thought it was 7.
No, 7 years is, that's beginning of tribulation, end thing. And then the end comes, and after that, it's like 1,000 years. Something like that.
Is that where all the you know, the, was it, the people are tortured and all that?
You know,
yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I had this idea that if anyone was listening to this, they'd fall asleep. Because there's this cycle of like, yeah. Oh, and only us are entertained. And then there's like, okay, they're going to keep doing that.
Pretty soon we're just going, yeah.
Yeah, completely understand what you're saying. You're not saying anything, but I'm understanding.
Yeah.
I'm getting back into Dennis Leary. He's actually an incredible philosopher in his own right.
Okay, where were we?
I go back to the making fun of the drive-through attendant of going out, ordering a Big Mac with a voice box, talking like this. Can I have a Big Bang, please? And the drive-through attendant, you're making fun of me.
Oh. Oh my goodness!
That's a Pepsi commercial, isn't it? That's a Pepsi commercial.
Yeah, kind of. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, they did that. They probably took it from that guy.
Yeah, probably. Wow. So, all right. Chaos theory is actually rather interesting, in that it actually, if you take it over the whole normal distribution of all things, it would be completely ordered, in that because everything that could possibly happen would happen, and therefore would create a sense of order. In that, as far as you could think, that there would be something to be able to happen.
We should have did a show completely on this, specifically, because it was kind of hard doing all these things and then adding these in. But
that was rather fun.
Yeah, it was. And this is actually, this is actually how we usually talk.
Yeah, this was much more free form. We got a whole lot more interesting things out.
Yeah,
got a lot more of our own thoughts out.
Yeah, and
and that's what really this is about. Because, I say our four listeners, because it's us. This is going to be, the. Our little, diary of our own lives during this whole time.
Oh, yeah.
Well, for however long we do this.
And I back it up, too.
And so, we really need to do this for us. And if anybody actually comes on and listens to us, well, I hope they get some entertainment value out of this. And maybe some informative. And maybe it would be a little record for, a little time capsule for somebody eventually in the future. But also, I think we do have some interesting perspectives of what does go on and do turn things around very some nifty ways.
See, you really, people really have to listen to us because a lot of the stuff, that we talked about, in the past, I didn't want to sound like this super crazy liberal that was worried about everything coming into my bedroom, I kind of take all the things into conjunction in my head and piece them together, and then that's the things that I don't hear people saying is what I want to say to somebody else. Because I'm saying, hey, you're not hearing that. Okay, so here's the information. Take it, think about it, process it, and make your decision. And that's what I like to do, and I think that's what all of us here like to do. And that's pretty much it. And some of the stuff, they come up with, I don't know, me and VR, I'm sure Dimitri and I were pretty deep thinkers. So we come up with off-the-wall stuff because, it's all kind of viable. But then we weigh it out in the end. You know what I mean? Like if somebody said, hey, are you going to place $50 on this theory? If that's going to work and you're going to make the bet and you're going to say, well, let me process that. I've got all these wacky things and they all have some sort of meaning. And
$50 on the mad cow theory right now,
on
baby.
The mad cow theory. How about the cockroach close to God theory?
Hey, that's a darn good viable one as well.
That's it. Now, we don't sound like everybody else. We don't come across with that.
What color is, cynicism?
Puce.
Well, see, that just really sounds way too close to puke. And so I can completely, see through.
Well, puce is kind of a weird brown, I think, from my understanding.
No, it's more like Barney.
Barney?
Barney is puce.
Oh, yeah.
Puce and green.
Puce and green.
And so I really think that's much too the disgustingly happy color to be cynicism. I think it would be more like a grayish umber.
No, but basically I like to try to keep the show, or we try to keep the show, or some basically someone can follow along. Tonight, we kind of got a little stretch, but I think people can follow along. So
I think it was because all the liquid nails in here.
Not my fault. It's your fault.
How many cases did you use?
Oh, I couldn't even tell you. We've gone through at least 24 bottles of it, those little squirt things.
Wow.
At least 24 of those.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, what show do you hear people getting high and speaking for, you know, almost 3 hours now? I mean, that's...
Yeah, that's actually...
Yep. You'd have to be high to even get to the three-hour point anyway, so we're doing good.
Yeah. So either you're almost on the verge of no more consciousness left, or you're just brain dead.
Or you know what else you can think about? If you fast forward to the very end, you're going to be totally screwed up because you got to listen to the beginning.
Oh, yes. Another one. Well, actually, no. You could probably come in on some of this stuff without any pre-context.
I know if JP ever listened to us, he's going to call us nuts on this one.
That's fine.
But
he's going to be like, you can't do a show without me because I order it. You know,
yeah,
give it some structural integrity.
I do structural, but I'm pretty much a nice guy, so I can't yell at you when you guys go off.
And I'm just feeling really scattered tonight.
Scatterbrained.
You know why? You know why? This is it, okay? I felt scattered ever since this whole thing's happened.
Yeah, that's...
I felt scattered since the whole thing's happened. Everything I do and say, I tie it to 10 other things. Because everything that's going on is like... Okay, because you're happy at home, right? September 10th, and you're doing your thing, and you had your world, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Next day, you're seeing your world being thrown with planes into your buildings, and you're seeing your world...
Yeah.
Basically, you don't know if chaos is coming.
For how long are planes going to fly into random buildings?
Yeah. Oh, this thing's going to Washington. Oh, shoot. Well, what's going to happen next? Are they going to drop a nuke? I mean, you know what I mean?
Oh, no. I have an appointment in a really tall building in, like, 20 minutes. You know, where am I going to go?
You know,
I no longer feel that, you know, how long is this going to continue?
Yeah, other chaos. And then all you hear on the, you know, here period for whenever medium, you start hearing, we've got problems here, and we've got security holes there. Well, can this happen? Well, can this... Everyone's stuck at a midpoint. You know what I mean? Like,
we're totally secure.
You don't hear that. But you don't hear, we're going to be totally annihilated. So you're like, oh.
Well,
okay.
Actually, they're you know, in the same place as the internet is on security measures. Because they're not saying it's totally secure. And not saying, oh, it's completely open. But it's done the same thing. This is, in effect, a civil hacker. Which is a terrorist.
Yeah.
Yeah, so don't want to make hackers sound too bad, but yeah.
Well, because that's the weird thing. It's like, we're used to, like, traditional war, where it's about the acquisition of resources, and ideology just justifies it.
Yeah.
But this isn't about acquisition of resource. This is just about ideology.
Hmm. And acquisition won't win it for you. It's ideology.
Right. Well, because what are they trying to, you know, come over here and take over us? No. They want to be left alone.
Have you ever seen George Bush speak and you always thought of, like, Porky Pig? We're going to bomb him. We're going to smoke him out.
We're going to track him down.
Yeah. Have you noticed?
We're going to send.
America must be vigilant.
I saw an article.
And we're gonna smoke them out. We're gonna smoke them out.
We have some border guards. It's a special, actually, Indian patrol that they're trackers, training in the traditional ways of tracking. They're like a ghost wolf patrol or something like that. We should send those people over there.
I think we do.
And go, Kellen, there's a $2 million reward on him. Go get him.
Go get him, boy. Bring my pigeon back. Go get him, dog.
No, we're not downing those people. We just want to throw some humor.
You don't know what's happening next, and you don't know what's going on. Nobody knows. It's like this show. We're trying to put a little structure here.
Well, actually,
but
I can tell you what's going to happen. Later on down the road, let's say Right,
we're all
going to
die.
The Northern Resistance in Afghanistan actually overthrows the Taliban.
Wow. What's going to happen then?
There are going to be a few years of them working with us, and then they're going to get pissed off. And what are they going to do? They're going to do the same thing all over again. Why? Because we put the Taliban in power when they were fighting off Russia.
Well, there's actually...
Do we see some cycles? Oh, no, we're too myopic.
Actually, they're still debating on who they're trying to help to put in power. They know that they'll help them fight the Taliban, but they put... They put restrictions on what they're going to do totally with the Northern Alliance. They're not going to do everything. You know, they're not going to... If they give me this, they're not going to give them anything. You know what I mean? They're going to fight with their existing equipment, as far as I understand. And, of course, they're not really trying to make the Northern Alliance that. there's another party of power, and they don't really talk about it too much. I forget who it is, but there's another party of power. They think that person may be more of a use for the democratic state. So... It's all up in the air. There's, you know, but, well, some stuff isn't, but the side effects are up in the air. You don't know what the side effects are of what people are trying to do, which could create a new mission all the time, you know, so.
Well, it seems to me like the short term is going to create, which it already has in a way, but, you know, more dramatically, unity worldwide. It has in a way, but, I mean, more like a centralized government of some sort, besides the UN, maybe the UN, but, you know, more structured than that. It's going to unite everybody in a sort of a democratic way.
Well, I think we were talking about this a while back. I think it was out of the show of that there's an old Outer Limits or Twilight Zone episode where there is actually a group of scientists that got together that wanted to actually really create world peace. And so they actually faked an alien invasion
mm-hmm.
that unified the world.
Yeah.
So we could bring it up to the whole world against the Afghanistan and not, you know, annihilate whatever we want in there. And then where are we going to go with it? Because otherwise we're going to degrade back down to the national, you know, the nation states and break apart again.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have to go to a completely different system. Or hate UFOs.
Yeah.
And shoot them down.
Send trackers after them.
I do that.
No. That would be bad.
See, to me it seems like this peace, though, that we have right now, everyone uniting, it's kind of not a real solid...
It's a
Band-Aid.
It's a very fake.
Yeah.
It's a very superficial... Mm-hmm. But highly powerful one right now.
Well, if you notice, after what had happened, all the patriotism, a lot of it, I think, was emanated to hide our fear.
Oh, very much so.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of the patriotism is actually...
I mean, that's pretty much what it is.
This is going to be my own personal little bitch right now. That all the I can't even begin to count how many flags I've just seen this week that are actually hung in disgrace. I actually saw one upside down 2 weeks ago. Yeah, why? If you're going to display the symbol of, you know, of great freedom, of what's called Old Glory, of, you know, the absolute, you know, symbol of our freedom, our human rights, why hang it in disgrace? How that is even more offensive, worse than not displaying patriotism at all. And that is where, if you are going to use a symbol, try to use it in the proper respect.
Yeah, I saw a lot of... Well, not a lot of it. Some of that. And, yeah, it's pretty...
It's rather sad. Because that's why we cannot find American flags in the stores, because they're sold out. There's a mad trend. It is trendy right now.
Yeah.
To have an American flag, to have it hanging on your car, to actually be hitting the side of your car, you know, to look tattered, you know, and they're not even real flags. They're just, you know, real symbol. They're just symbols of the flag now, because they're not. They're silk screening them out by the,
yeah,
by the gross. You know, yeah, it's just really saddening. Because I've been trained in the proper handling and the respect of that symbol, and now I see how it's treated in ignorance. And it's still hard to accept, even though I let it go, because that is their freedom. Mm-hmm. Just as they could burn a flag.
Oh, okay. You guys, it was so funny. On the internet, okay, you get up there, one of the internet things, showed this guy burned an American flag. So two pictures. And it said, you know, like, American flag, $5. You know, Taliban, I forget the other things, but like, Taliban outfit or clothing, $15. Price of seeing a man burning the flag burning, priceless. He caught himself on fire. It's just one thing. Yeah, burning the flag, and the next thing he's like, "Oh crap, I'm burning!" and then these are real cool too. Some of the other things that I've seen, I saw it taped into someone's car, and I was to have a PowerPoint presentation. I sent it off to you, Dimitri, but you couldn't see it. Okay, the one on the back of the card showed two different pictures, and basically the PowerPoint presentation showed many pictures. Basically, it says, "We're glad, Mr. Bin Laden, that you have taken an interest in the Boeing aircraft, say, 747. Now we'd like to have you take a look at some of our other fine products." Shows, like, the Apache helicopter and, like, the F-16. "This helicopter will be shooting your ground troops while they're running away from it." And then, I think it was, like, F-16 or another fighter jet saying, like, so, like, "This Boeing product is specifically designed to blow the hell out of, you know, freaking, you know, the earth or whatever." But, yeah, it was pretty interesting saying, like, or, you know, there's other, the other way it was worded is kind of like, you know, like, I'm glad you've seen how well, you know, this Boeing product works. How would you like to see how the other options of the other Boeing products are?" You know, so it was pretty
That is pretty good. You know, the other night I was out wandering around the neighborhood, and I was actually seeing our glorious F-16 circling around this great valley, and, you know, almost playing tag as they were circling around. They were trying to, like, get in front of each other. They're almost kind of like keeping themselves occupied as they circled around.
It's like that when I drive my car. Yeah, because, you know, my car, I have a little race car, so it's kind of... The other guy does the same thing, you know, it's this whole mind game of cat and dog.
Yeah, but this is at, like, Mach 2.
Did you guys hear the sonic boom about 3 weeks ago?
Well, actually, that doesn't have that big a range. Sonic booms don't actually... Yeah.
I heard it.
They only originate for, like, a mile or two.
I heard it. It was... I was sitting at work.
No, it was a couple miles, sorry. Yeah.
I was at work, and there's sound like, you ever heard, like, a dump truck going over, like, a bend, like, the road's kind of bumpy?
Yeah.
Do you know the dump truck? That's what I heard. And then, you know, this coworker of mine gets up, and he looks out the window, like, "Oh, you know, what happened? Hey, there's something going on, you know?" And I was like, "Oh, that sounds like a dump truck." And he's just like, "Yeah, but, you know," he's kind of a jerk sometimes. "Oh, there's no dump truck around here. It's because that's around back." Anyways. This is going to go into actually another little peeve of mine. Next day, he's like, "You know that dump truck you heard?" I was like, "Well, I didn't say I heard a dump truck. I said it sounded like a dump truck." He's like, "Well, that was a sonic boom." Well, so, yeah, it was a sonic boom that I heard. I bet that guy got busted. He's just like, "Hey, what's going on? Flying over Arizona." So,
Oh, man.
Yeah, because it can actually break windows if it's too low.
Uh-huh.
And break eardrums and all that nifty stuff.
Do you guys have anything more interesting to say? I know we have tons of things, but we could just talk on forever. I figure we might as well wrap it up. Let's see.
No. I'm pretty much done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just going to get really weird here now that I'm tired.
Yeah. Sorry for anybody if we got too strange. Well, we didn't get too strange, but too scattered. You'd have to be following us to really,
I think we're going to have to, play, some heavy metal background music.
Actually, I wanted to send them off nicely. I should do the original song.
We got kind of sparse, too.
Yeah. It definitely would take some work to...
It would take a whole lot of editing to get this to...
The sound.
Woo! Yeah, it actually sounded like a really lively energy show.
Yeah, we definitely weren't very...
That's all right. If you've lasted this long, I am...
Then you are part of the clan.
I toast you with the nectar of the gods of Mountain Dew.
I'm sure at this point they can sleep. They probably couldn't sleep before, but now they can.
They could actually. They're probably so bored that they could drink a liter of it and still pass out.
Drink Code Red, the juice of the streets. Have you seen that commercial?
No.
What the heck does Code Red have to do with the streets?
No, especially because it tastes like a Shirley Temple.
Oh. It tastes like Hawaiian Punch.
Okay, I don't know anything about that.
The Shirley Temple?
Or the
Code Red.
No, there's a commercial. All these black people is an urban area, and there's all these black people playing basketball and watching the basketball. And, the slam dunk. And, hey, what's up? You trying to get in front of me? No, I got the ball. I'm going for the hoop. I got the rock. What's up, y'all? Code Red, the juice of the streets. Like, I was like, what the heck does that have to do with the streets? Like, isn't it weird how McDonald's has those commercials towards, black people? Like, it makes it sound like they can't get a better job than McDonald's. Like, hey, what's going on, brother? You know what I'm saying? I'm just slinging crack, killing brothers in the hood. You know what I'm saying? What you doing? Man, I ain't doing all that, bro. I got a job at McDonald's. You know what I'm saying? That is so demeaning.
Yeah.
Seriously, they could do much more than McDonald's. Like, seriously.
Yeah, they could go to... Jack in the Box.
Seriously, when do you have white people? When have you seen a commercial where a whole bunch of white people are like, oh, hi, how you doing? What's going on? I'm going to go watch the game. What are you going to do? I'm going to work at McDonald's.
Okay. I'm going to drive my BMW down to McDonald's and go to work.
Because my dad bought the franchise.
I'm sure they have.
He's going to pay me more than the blacks and Mexicans are. Yeah, right. Yeah, that thing was totally targeting towards black people to go work at young black teens to go work at McDonald's. Does it have to do with black teens and McDonald's?
It's like having the KFC, how the old guy that they have on KFC, he sort of hops around and he does that, move, and he's like rapping
little
his
cabbage patch move, yeah.
Yeah, and, every once in a while you'll see a run of a bunch of black actors. Or, certain race, ethnic groups
demographics.
Or whatever. Yeah. They do it try to get a certain amount of people in there. So it's possible they don't have enough black people working.
All right, I think you've lost standing privileges. You definitely have lost standing privileges.
I have to stand.
Oh, yeah, what makes you so freaking important?
I work for McDonald's.
It's not very hard to work for McDonald's now. Everything's computerized totally now.
It's completely alienated production.
Oh, gosh.
When they want a cheeseburger, press the cheeseburger picture.
Don't even have to read anymore.
When I went to McDonald's, I haven't seen so many, 16-year-olds working so hard. They were... all just going insane.
That's because they're
the hardest working.
Yeah, they all give them crack and whip them when you're not looking.
But they were doing good, really.
Hey, Johnny, you're getting lazy. Eat the special sauce.
Eat the special sauce.
Special sauce. Hey, I want to eat more special sauce. You can't do it unless you get a paycheck. Okay.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so it's...
work more to get more special sauce, so they get more special sauce, so they work more, and then they have to get more special sauce, so they have to work more.
Poor bastards.
A vicious cycle.
The life of the special sauce junkie.
That's how you get them started. Yeah, okay, it's the first time in place. You need to taste the food so you know what you're working with. Here's a chicken McNugget. Oh, it's all over from there.
You're the McDonald's slave.
We have some really good abstract things. Seriously, this kind of show would actually have more of a cult following, you know what I mean?
Oh, hell yeah. This is absolutely beautiful.
Other
so
bizarro
now
of
at,
us.
Yeah.
At, yeah, what was it? Computer liberation?
We're
liberating all computers.
Yes,
we're
the computer liberation militia.
Oh, yeah.
And we're spreading our abstract ideas to all the young kids in America, all over.
That's right, and we will even write you an application for employment that you can then employ us to liberate your computer for you. So we will come to your home or establishment and take your computer and set it free in our local computer pasture, where it can then run and jump and play with other computers and have computer games and frolic.
And we have better secret sauce than McDonald's.
Which we raise all a new breed of creative and innovative computer into this great world, then we will unleash them and free to integrate into our society, which will then do, you know, actually liberate us.
That would be so funny if this was like a Twilight Zone, and as soon as we left this box, the world was everything we spoke of.
You know, that actually, I would say something. Just out of the blue, wouldn't make any sense. You know, like, it would be funny if this happened. And, like, the next day, it's, like, a big deal.
Wouldn't that be funny if Dimitri was straight?
We all know that's not going to happen.
That's right. He's queer in a $3 bill.
Oh,
I love you guys.
What you were saying?
All right, I'm sitting down over here.
You were saying?
I don't remember now.
Oh, gosh.
I'm gay.
Short term.
So that everything, yeah, just really strange. You,
I pretty much
just, you, ended you it. You say it, and
we,
it happens.
Are we going
every once in a while,
this?
Doesn't it?
What?
Are we sitting down eating after this or no?
Well, I just completely loaded myself full of, you know, local carcinogens and meat product earlier, so I'm doing pretty well. I think I'll be growing into a much healthier and stronger boy.
So that means yes or no. Are you going or what? I mean, what's the answer?
Oh, I can always deal with some more carcinogens.
Okay.
What about you?
I really wish there was a 24-hour shisha place.
Shisha
what?
Place?
Hookah.
Okay, what?
You know the water pipes that you smoke tobacco in?
It's like a bond.
Sure.
That tobacco.
But it's really tobacco. They have flavored tobacco.
I don't know this stuff.
Oh, they're really cool. Okay. They're just really fun to like.
Strawberry's good.
Yeah. Pop on and play cards and
all right.
Talk about abstract things. Like that.
I'd rather just, you know, sniff liquid nails for a while and
like conflict
play music.
Biology. Oh.
Dude.
Conflict biology, man.
I think it's getting so weird. Put that music on.
They're not talking about like cyborgs, man. They're battling it out. We're talking about the very balance of nature and homeostasis.
Peace for all. And if you're gay, it's okay. Because there's straight people as well.
Go with the flow of the music, man. Go for it. You can do it.
Or so just
start talking.
Just belch it out.
Everyone else has got to shut up. Go for it.
I awake to find
you're supposed to talk, dude.
Am I now?
You're
lecturing.
Okay.
Well, now that I'm on the spot, oh my God. You know, just the absolute beauty of the endometrium reticulum as it is a water clock for the synthesis of as a very building block of our very nature and our being. As through its moves and hinders and allows for them the integration of mononucleotides into the building.
Okay, this doesn't work.
Structure.
You're just going to have to shut up.
All right. Well, that was my run of thought.
Yeah, it worked out.
It really worked out.
Yeah, we'll call you back for another interview.
Yeah, right. Your employment at this company is terminated. Okay, I don't care if you like special sauce, buddy. You're a special sauce junkie as far as I'm concerned.
Your brain is special sauce. We should put a tap in your head and drink it.
Okay, that's just weird.
That's our October edition.
That's probably the best compliment I've had all day. Dimitri saying, that's just weird.
Yeah.
Another crazy time with the guys here at the In and Out crew. Hope you enjoyed it. Hopefully we'll have... actually, I know we will have more fun for you next show. So stay tuned and listen. Some of the things we have to say may get off the wall at some points, but it's all very good stuff. Saying good night to Dimitri.
Do not drink brown water. Goodbye.
And
Pepsi.
Yeah.
The Mentor VR.
Relax and go deeper, deeper down into your consciousness. As you float away, visualize what color your day will be.
Mine means the same thing. I mean, what the heck? Don't drink brown water. That it's all the same.
Well, I'm signing out saying that my allegiance has now been moved to Burger King because they have tacos just like Jack in the Box, except they take debit.
Jack in the Box has funnier commercials.
Jack in the Box is better, but they don't take debit. So... this is a Burger King ring. It's my job.
But I thought it was McDonald's that took actually debit. Yeah,
but it's 50 cents for debit use.
Do you get any cash back?
Yeah.
Okay, so you can actually get enough money to create it.
Make it worth it.
Yeah.
Yep.
So Shanti.
Or you could just go to your bank, which is probably right down the road anyway.
Dimitri's going to shut up right now. All right, everyone, have a good night. Thank you.